Thank you.
Good.
I'll ask you to stand. It's the policy of the Board of County Commissioners that we ask the pastors in Thayer County to come and lead us in prayer. And tonight, our guest pastor is Pastor William Bolden. He's from the Little St. John's Missionary Baptist Church. Pastor?
Amen. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I guess with me. Father in heaven, Lord God Almighty, we want to say thank you, Father, because this is the day that you have made, and for that we're glad about it, that we're on this side, Lord God, once again. And now, Father, we find ourselves thanking you for all that you have done for us throughout this day and allowed us to be a part of this county commissioner's meeting. And Father, we just pray now that the Holy Spirit of God will lead our commissioners, Lord God, in a form of unity in this community, Lord God, a unity among themselves. And Lord, just help us as a community, as a county, Lord God, to do those things which is right and pleasing in our sight. We can't do it apart from it. So we pray right now for our federal government, our state government, Lord, all the way down to our county and our city and all of our local governments right now. Help us, Lord God, to be a good example, Lord God, for other surrounding counties, Lord. Thank you now for these commissioners, Lord God, and thank you for the people of Taylor County. So bless this meeting now, Father. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we are praying. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I want to thank you, Pastor, and come back to see us anytime.
Amen.
I'd like to welcome everyone here this evening to our first meeting in October. Just go ahead and announce that our next regular meeting is October the 22nd at 9 a.m. We'd love for you to come back. We'll move on to approval of the agenda. Okay. Are there any additions, deletions, or changes or anything, Ms. Pendleton? Okay, so we have a motion by Commissioner Gibbs. Is there a second?
May 2nd.
Second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Bids and public hearings, number 4. The board to continue a public hearing from August the 20th, 2019, set for this day at 6 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible, to consider adoption of a resolution to abandon portions of First Avenue, Northwest 2nd Avenue, Northwest 3rd Avenue, Northwest and 4th Street, Northwest, located in Steinhatchee, Florida, at the request of Joe H. Anderson III. Is there a motion to read this resolution by title only?
Motion.
Second.
A motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop?
Resolution. Be it resolved by the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida. And it's really, it's a road closing. And it's parcels that you mentioned in your opening. If you want me to read the whole resolution, I can, but it has lengthy descriptions in it.
I'll
pay.
Title's good enough for me.
Just title is good, thank you.
Well, but
that's it.
That's it. There's okay. No title per
thank
se.
You. Thank you. Okay, this is a public hearing, and that means that we're going to hear from you all first. The way we do things is you can come forward, you can state your name, your address, and you can speak for 3 minutes. Since this is at the request of Mr. Joe Anderson III, would you like to come forward first?
I'd like to pray for this. I'm Joe Anderson. I'm from Muggletown.
I've been around here, I think y'all know, a long time, me and the family. I'm requesting to close these roads the other day. I've owned the property 5 or 8 years. The roads, they not maintained. Some of the roads are just flagged some years or decades ago. And, you know, we could close somewhere, we can clean it up. It's a little bit of an eyesore. Things go on it down on the roads, probably don't help my land or the condo land. And just, you know, tidy up the land. I want to clean it up. I've got no big plans for the property. I want to dig a nice canal in it. And, you know, I've got a place across the river in the Oven County. And it's as close to this piece of land, other than mine's in Dixie and this is in Taylor. Nothing wrong with Taylor. I'm across, and I want to do my land for Taylor like this and possibly build a 2 or 3 nice houses on it. And, you know, that's all I want to do. But that's my request for closing these roads. And I don't think I'm cutting nobody off from nothing. And,
if you don't mind, I'd like to ask you a question. Help me understand how closing these roads will help you. How will it help you to do what you're already planning to do?
Well, about 2 of the roads show going across the south end. And they've never been a road there. Another one, I think, very similar, goes across it. That's never been there. One, I don't know the numbers, just the last bit, but the one, you go down to the end of the canal, I need to close it and dig the canal where it nearly is.
That's 4th Street.
4th Street. I don't know the number, but that one needs, I need to do it to get the gun. With the canal up the street, and to do that, and you know, with that public street right there, I don't know what I can do with the public. All they do is drive down there and turn around or go to the end. And,
but now, are you talking about the one that goes to the water that's closer to the row of condominiums?
That's between me and the car.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. And you're wanting to bring the canal up there?
Possibly.
Would it be open to the public?
The canal?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
I know most it would.
Okay.
Now, if they come up and down and out of the river, I don't think you'd stop them.
But now it's open to the public right now, right? Am I right?
Well, it really, the canal that's there now, it shows mostly dry. I mean, I went up there the other day in a little boat, and it ain't quite as low tide from here to the wall and this deep. Mm-hmm. I mean, it ain't much of a canal, and really, the canal that's there now, the condo association, I think, totally owns it. It ain't even in the county's right away or nothing. And the condo's got a submerged land lease on it. And if the condo decided they didn't want nobody in the canal, I guess they could close the canal. That's right. They own it. It's on the land atlas and all it. The county of the condo's on it. If the condo's in agreement with us, they would lock the road closed off, I'll say.
I understand from discussing in a previous meeting on this that there, the water system has a lift station.
Mm-hmm.
This farmer might can tell us again, which street is the lift station on?
It's on the same one. It's an intersection.
Intersection
of that mountain.
It's actually on this property because Ellison gave it to It is here. Y'all still trip it? Did y'all take the field trip?
I didn't go. I got my mask.
I went.
I did. I'm going to walk.
Well, Mr. Murphy, do you know where to...
I know exactly where you're talking about. You're talking about on the corner of 4th and 1st.
Yeah.
It's because the Ellisons donated this property to the location. It's across there. 4th and 1st.
Yeah.
They donated that property.
The lift station?
It's close. It's closer to 1st. Yeah. This is right in here. It was a donated piece of property.
The county owns that lot.
Yeah, it was a donated property.
I think we get it all figured out here now.
You might even say.
I see on this map numerous smaller lots. I don't know what the size is. I have to read the scale here. But I can do a lot of mobile homes eventually being put in there, and we'll do something to combine it so you get nicer houses. And maybe a lot of RVs. And that doesn't do a whole lot for our tax base. I'd rather see.
Understand where
you're
mobile homes and
all the where looking to these lots, I assume, I don't know if they're buildable or not.
That's right.
Yeah, because I see you have a kind of parking lot.
That's right.
Now, if you put in two or three big old nice houses, that's going to do more than than the total tax base. Then you use it for.
Think right there, Chip, and Tip, the sewer station, the lift station, and the water. Thing you learn,
yeah.
We'll put in there to take care of maintaining the lot.
Yeah. For all of this, so to me, the question is, do you want 18 lots, 18 RVs and mobile homes, or do you want 3 or 4 big nice homes?
Well, I'm not first, I'm not in the club.
Yeah. I
don't want to sell 18 lots and do it like that. I hope to sell 1, 2, 3, 4. That's what I'd like to do.
But your development code that we're working off of these roads was done off of these lots, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So we're asking to diminish.
Close this one,
diminish
this one, and this.
Yeah, I got them shaded here.
Yeah.
Diminish the amount of lots.
Close this, and then you got 2
we're not big lots. Exactly.
And this road. They ain't never been a road here.
Well, if we don't do nothing else, we're entitled to 1/16 lots.
Yeah.
Regardless whether you close this road or not. Y'all, when we build this road for you, y'all got to keep it up. We dedicate it to you, to county.
Wait a minute. No, sir.
Well, it's your road.
Well,
I don't even want to do that.
You'll tell us what to do, sir.
If we do what I'm talking about doing, I'll take care of what roads I need in there, and you won't have to take care of it. I'll do it just like I've done the one I've done across the river. The county has about 4.5 of road. The county did. The county gave it to me. They made about 3 or 4 on it, and I took care of the road, and the county's now is it.
I would think if we gave you the road here, or half the road, whatever it is, then you come in and you dig your channel. If you have a road there, you ought to bring this to our standards.
You know what you got. If I do this, if I close these, I'll build my roads and I'll pay them for them. Okay? First, what I'm talking about is somebody builds a house in here and he probably ain't going to build it on a dirt road.
Probably right.
Yeah,
he's going to expect
you to want something, I want something, and most people that do, they want their stuff pretty well maintenance free. They don't want it to take care of every time it rains.
Okay, I think I've got my questions answered.
I know that they might, this one, I've got an option on, I think you mentioned this thing.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
One question that I have for staff, two questions I have. The lift station, as we looked at that, if we closed this road, then we have a lift station that would, I mean, how would you?
My understanding, I think I know what you're asking. So if you are referring to the 61.98 acre parcel that the county presently owns, the Second Avenue Northwest is the best route for sewer and water to that parcel. Because, and it's, I think it's on Second Avenue because First Avenue goes into the marsh. Second Avenue, if I'm not mistaken, is the access for water and sewer. And then, so if you did close Second Avenue Northwest, you could obtain access to the 61.98 acres off Fifth Avenue to Fifth Street, but the water and sewer ends from what I understand.
We would not then, if we did this, we would not have the sewer and water access.
That's my understanding.
And how about electrical?
I think there are utility lines in place, but my understanding is that that is the best access for water and sewer, is from the Second Avenue Northwest lift station.
And we can give a ride.
How can we, I mean, if we own a lift station and we abandoned that and gave it to somebody, then that's our lift station.
We would give a ride of entry.
Hold on just a minute. Hold on.
Right.
If you want to speak, raise your hand and I'll recognize you, okay? So with our lift station, and if we gave that away, how could we do that?
Well, what you would have to do would be is if you close, you know, it goes to the adjacent landowners, and that would be Mr. Anderson. And then Mr. Anderson could, in fact, give you back an easement or deed it back to you, kind of a swap thing like we did when we did the Keaton Beach boat ramp, if y'all recall. Remember when we did a land swap? That's what you could do.
Okay. The other thing is...
I'm not saying do it, I'm just saying...
Right, you answered my question. Thank you. The other thing is the public now uses that little water access. I know when I was there, I saw a couple of boats there, and it's my understanding that that is a public access.
Yeah, they're local.
And so that's a concern of mine, the lift station and the access to the water. And the water and sewer, if you look at our acreage of 60-something acres there, that would cut us off to having access to that, is the way I understand it. So then how would we, if we ever decided to develop any part of the 60-something acres, how could we do that without water and sewer?
And I don't know, I mean, that's a BBWA question as far as further plans for expansion of water and sewer, but I don't have the answer to that. I don't know what the future plans are as far as water and sewer to that particular piece of property.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Yes, sir.
And I just want to point out Michael is the director.
Thank you.
Mr. Anderson. And we're looking at 4th Street on there where the canal is.
Mm-hmm.
The condo association, if you look on the map, owns a submerged land lease for that water. If public is using it as an access point with their submerged land lease, technically, they're not supposed to be. That's not a public access canal because they own.
Do you know where is there survey stakes or something that identify that? Because I'm trying to see.
You see the lines here that goes across the white line that goes. That's their submerged lease right there. So that goes up to the road. I see, Mr. Bishop. What I'm referring to.
The condos is here, and this canal that they're referring to. the condo association owns that canal, or it's a submerged land lease with the state. So technically, it's not a public access canal, is what I'm conveying. Based on my understanding.
So that canal is a condo property.
Right. So if the public using it, technically they're not, it's not an access point.
If you're using it.
Do you have a copy of that lease?
Wait, now, what are you going to?
No, I don't.
Hold on just a second.
It's recorded in the later county.
It is recorded?
It's got a part of my email.
This is our, this is Fourth Street, or Fourth Avenue. That's Stonebridge.
The condo association, I understand that it's recorded submerged land lease.
Do you have a copy of that?
I do not. If the homeowners, condo association.
I could just say that canal.
No, you got to stand up there.
You want the condo association?
No, I'm not. But I know, I don't mind the bank.
Okay, hold on. Okay, thank you. Now, hold on. Sir, if you'll come forward and state your name and address and tell us what you want us to hear.
Yeah, my name's Kirk Jones. I have a couple residences in town, 2 Fifth Street, Northeast, and we have. I know the owners of the Gulf Breeze condo, and that little canal that you're speaking about, locals use it to launch from there, and they like it. Okay. You know, kayaks launch from there. It's very shallow, and there's no, the Gulf Breeze condo people don't care about that. They care about the other side, because they don't access it by going into Gulf Breeze condos. Uh-huh. They access it going past the property and then going to the left. And they'd love the local people, fishermen, like to go and launch there. Mm-hmm. They'd like to see that in the roof.
There you go. That's all. There you go up there. Let's go to Breeze Condo Association. Yeah. And the Landlord Association.
There it is on the, yeah. They got it on the map, now the canal.
Okay. I want to say again, if you want to speak, raise your hand. My job is to keep this meeting in order, and I'm going to let everybody talk, but let's just do it in an orderly fashion, okay? Yes, sir.
My name is Jason Weisenbaker. I'm one of the condo owners. I'm also the president of the Homeowners Association, and we don't like the boats out there. I get calls every day about it. I was telling the county administrator, got calls last night. We had people fishing off our docks who were not condo owners. We had people on the second floor up drinking beer. We had to run both of them off. And the area that we would like to see closed, they usually pull in there and park, and then they walk in and come on our property. We put a fence in, a decorative fence, but to no avail. And she and I have been talking about trying to get the sheriff down there a little bit more. But, you know, by the time we can call the sheriff and he comes from up here down there, people have gone. We've had things stolen. And I've addressed y'all before about it. And we would very much like to see it closed so that we can kind of fence that off. And again, I talked to every single condo owner, and I'm representing them. So.
Okay, thank you. Next person. Yes.
Jim Zerber from Steen Hatchie, Florida, longtime resident. That gentleman from the condo association, he's talking about the entire town of Steen Hatchie. I look like I can say that because I lived there a long time. I was on the boat ramp committee way back when we had all the controversy. We surveyed that piece of property, and at a high tide, I'm not sure what the law was about the meeting, but part of that dug canal. It was dug illegally, by the way. The totally illegal, somebody should have been fined tremendously for it. In fact, that's how we got a lot of that conservation property, is because, remember, all the wetlands was dug up. Okay. So part of it is on the right. All right. We were going to dig it, and then luckily, the ideal property came. You never know, it turned out to be that's where we need to put it. Totally against a piece of property with public access. By the way, we've never finished our canoe and kayak. Do you imagine how nice that would be if we dug it a little more?
on art for a canoe and kayak launch, which is at the mouth of the river, and when people go, and they do that and go out into the marsh, instead of having the tool all the way out the river from the boat ramp with their canoe and kayak. I think we need to keep it. I think we need to keep Second Street. If they can use Third as access to it, but also I'd like to see a contract, some kind of an agreement, where there's only going to be two or three houses built. And this gentleman always does everything first class. Listen, he's got a beautiful home. I know his reputation. That's not the issue here. But I know this. I find it unsightly and sickening. I'm in a commercial fishing business, and coming in down the river as much or more than any person in Steinhatchee. And to see the Gulf Breeze condos there, they're all an eyesore for me. People see these big condos and they think how beautiful and whatnot, but I used to look at a pristine. If you sat over at the bar and used to have a drink, there was nothing there. And I know those are just particulars of how I am. I don't want to take the mouth of the river and do anything else to it, personally. But I can't stop the development. If that gentleman can go ahead and build those homes according to the law, build them high enough, 21 feet or whatever the rule's going to be, that's fine. But I don't want to see the county culpable in giving away our access. That's the closest access we own to the mouth of the river. Just don't make the mistakes that St. Pete or Bell's County did, or even Crystal River, or anywhere else. But let's help this gentleman if there's another way that he can access. But that Second and Fourth is a big deal for us. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I thank you very much.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
My name's John Lamb. I've been living in Steinhatchee about 40-some years. Been in business there, bought some lots. This subdivision was platted in 1921. And the developer, Barney Oakland, had foresight. He left those dead-end roads that gave access to the river and to the marsh on purpose. So down the road, developers wouldn't be able to cut off access. The people who couldn't get the water any other way. I agree with Jim on everything. I know he'd do a class A job, but it's going to cut off access to natural resources that won't be available after that. You won't be able to get in there. It's wrong to do that.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Yes, sir.
Stan Ridgeway, 901 Riverside, Steinhatchee. I'm against any closures of those roads for the following reasons. On 4th Street, Northwest, it ends at the river. It gives access to the citizens of Taylor County and the business of Taylor County. They've been using it ever since that was planted. They fish at the end of 4th Street, right on the river, within 15 yards of the channel. That canal that's in there now, part of it actually belongs to the county. If you would survey it, you have a 70-foot right-of-way in there. It's already been stated that there are launches of canoe, kayaks, and small boats. That's been going on as long as people have been in that area. Now, let me add another hat to me. I'm not only a citizen of Taylor County, I'm a director on the board of Big Bend Water Authority. Big Bend Water Authority was created by Taylor County and Dixie County in partnership to provide sewer and water on both sides of the river. Currently, there are sewer line and water line on 4th Street. There is a lift station on the corner, which has been talked about previously. All of those items belong to BBWA. When they were put in, they were surveyed by a registered surveyor to keep them on the right of way. In the future plans, for the 61 acres. I've heard of Riverfront Park, I've heard of Festival Grounds for the county. the access that BBWA has is down Second Avenue. If you take that away, I don't know when you will get sewer to that 61 acres. That lift station was put in specifically to provide sewer for that area and the area west past the 61 acres. And First Avenue and 4th Street, if you close those, you are legally landlocking two lots on First Avenue on the south side, the riverfront side. One of those lots is privately owned, the other lot is owned by the county. I've been coming to these meetings for 20 years. I have never seen roads closed when they are this valuable to the citizens of the county. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. I have an email from a citizen that was emailed this afternoon. Would you like me to read it?
I would. Would you come up and read it so we can all hear?
Dear Taylor County Commissioners, I'm in favor of the closure of the roadways under consideration for abandonment, including, and it lists First Avenue Northwest, Second Avenue Northwest, Third Avenue Northwest, and Fourth Street Northwest, the portions that are on your maps. I used to jog in the area of the proposed closures. However, due to the high risk of dangers from drug users, stray needles, and the unsightly litter of beer cans and alcohol bottles, this area is no longer safe or pleasing to run in. The roads are deeply rutted, making it very difficult for the area to be patrolled by police. However, this is not the main reason I believe these roads should be closed. This property is absolutely the most prime, waterfront, undeveloped property accessible by road. Closing these roads make the land that available for a much nicer and a higher degree of the development. This should greatly increase the taxes for Taylor County. There was concern for the access to the large Taylor County land behind it, but that is very accessible via Fifth Avenue. There was also concern for access to what was supposedly the boat ramp, but there is no parking, and our wonderful county boat ramp works very nicely and cleanly for visitor and residents of Steinhatchee. Please consider closing the roads, as it will greatly improve Steinhatchee waterfront and possibly increase the taxes. In the current state, it is an ugly representation of Steinhatchee and is an added risk to both residents and visitors. Sincerely, Danielle Norwood.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak on this issue? Okay, we've heard from the citizens, we've heard some that have their reasons for wanting to close it, and some that do not want it closed. But Mr. Anderson, if we did not abandon these roads, you could still construct your houses, right? I mean, it wouldn't mean that you could not construct.
If nothing changes, I'm going to probably not do a whole lot else. I'm going to put a good fence around mine. I'm going to figure out what to do with it, but I'm mostly sure now, 80%, unless somebody comes, unless you want to buy it and build this boat ramp and all, I won't do nothing to it. You can have at it, but if it stays as it is, I'm not spending a whole lot more money on it, and I've got a plan or two. I'm not doing a whole lot else. It's not desirable with them roads cut through it like it is. Like the guy said a while ago about the lot that I cut off, I got the option on that lot. If I get the road closed, I don't remember the road numbers again. I know fourth and I guess first. I got an option on that lot.
The one that would potentially be landlocked, that's the one you're talking about?
I got an option on this.
Is it sober?
Yes.
That's
right.
They'll probably come back and want to do a road closure.
I'll have that.
Their lot's nothing but marsh anyway.
That's exactly right.
It is undeveloped.
And they own the stuff in the north also.
And I got a copy of the contingency land contract on those other lots.
Mr. Bryant, I want to have one more quick, if you come up, one more quick response.
This is a huge issue. You know, the Main Street issue probably should have been decided down in Steenhatchee. You think that if we're going to have it, let's have that. Just have this public hearing, the final public hearing in Steenhatchee. Let the citizens of Steenhatchee, because there'll be a lot of people listening. We'll hear a lot more comments on why not. But it only seems right. That's our backyard. I wouldn't want people, you know, in Steenhatchee making a decision about what happens, you know, even though we do have a right to weigh in on it. It'd be nice to have, I know we can do it. This is important. Let's go ahead and have it in Steenhatchee at the community center.
Well, did they not have the same opportunity as
the Yes, everybody had the opportunity. I didn't think there was going to be final action.
The third time we've had this come before us.
Well, we've had it twice at a workshop.
Twice at a workshop, that's three. And I'm under the impression, from I recall, our attorneys told us our meetings have to be held here. Is that still
being? We did some in Steenhatchee years ago, but we shouldn't have done that.
But he's talking about a public hearing, not
public
a meeting. Is that still considered the same? Okay. We would not be able to do that, sir. Yes, sir. One quick comment.
I'd like to ask Conrad, have y'all ever closed the road that ends in the river? I don't think so.
No, sir.
And not when y'all were trying before, they promised that there would always be a public hearing in Steenhatchee to decide. No roads have been closed down there. This is a set of precedents. And we have never done this before. Y'all are stepping outside the bounds to close these roads.
Anyone else? Okay. Need to hear from the board. Commissioner Murphy, this is your district.
Yes, ma'am.
Would you like to speak?
Absolutely. In light of hearing from residents who live adjacent to these properties, existing landowners who live on site. What I'm hearing from these people is that they're adamantly against closing these roads. Reason being is because access to public access and then private access to private lands that are back in that area. This is a mess, a headache that's been going on for a long time. Okay? Now, at what point does this serve the public's interest? If we give this land away, what purpose does this serve for the public's interest? Okay. When someone comes and tells me that the land is not worth anything, but yet they're aggressively pursuing the land, something is worth it. Something. It's worth something. But where we hold leverage is in the public's interest. Okay. If we've ever decided to build a project with public interest, a park or a ball field or a boat ramp or anything of that nature, we are never going to have this opportunity again on this coastline with this degree and this magnitude. From my understanding, when Mr. Osteen first came in here, you negated the process and said that you were going to build condos.
No,
am I understanding that correctly? To say that you're going to build to a degree depending on what we do with this. Number one, first and foremost, I'm not for giving any public lands unless it's for a hospital, a school, or public interest. That's where I stand. That land is very valuable to the public. But again, I've heard both sides of the story. I've heard, you know, some people say, yeah, we would like to give it away. But for the majority, I hear, no. And that's where I stand with. And if we're ready to vote on that today, that's where I stand with. So if we have heard everything from the public today, if anybody else would like to speak up on the issue, please. Anybody have any math to bring to the table on the issue?
Okay, that's all I'm
hearing. Yes, ma'am.
Any other commissioner want to speak?
I went down and looked at it the other day. And I did have some reservations before I went down there. And I have mixed emotions now. How many places on the river can we go and speak? Boat ramp, that's all around there, $5. But I looked at that too and said, well now, if it's been there since 1900, nobody developed it, nobody done anything for it. When are we going to do something for it to really advance the public? It's not on the tax roll anymore. Only one person come up, and I did that, Mr. Joe Anderson, said he wanted to do something with it, provided we could do something to help him. We help businesses, we help the public, and we help everybody that comes up here now. Whether he's going to do something right, and I believe he will, from what I understand. I just got to figure that out. I got to think about it. I don't know exactly. I don't want to call progress, but I see progress. Mm-hmm. And I see some nice homes down there. I see some tax base down there. And they were going to build condos. I don't know whether I'm against condos or not. Everywhere I go in Tallahassee, everywhere they building condos. And everything. And it looked like that's the way of life. So, if I heard the word condo, it really did retard me. It'd probably be more people down there. And I know the people down in Steenhatchee probably want to keep Steenhatchee just like it is, you know, single family, big house, and all this kind of stuff. But is that what we want to do? What is the right thing for us to do?
Well, you know, Commissioner, I've pondered that now for quite a while, and after I saw it, and I know we're all for economic development. We'd like to see our tax base increase, and I applaud someone that wants to do something like that. But then on the other hand, like Commissioner Murphy said, do we really want to give away public taxpayers' land? Do we want to cut off access to this river from the people that have used it for all these years? It's a very hard decision. But there's something to be said about giving away any more property, especially if it's valuable property. You know, y'all can tell we're all struggling with this.
Really?
Yes.
If I were master planning a community and projecting into the future, I'd look at Steenhatchee as one of the gems of the state of Florida. Mm-hmm. Okay? And that little canal there represents a future boat ramp that's going to be probably a necessity. I already see in scallop season long lines, okay? So that's number one. We've got something coming up here with a hydraulic engineer dealing with roads that need to be done. Understand this gentleman has a road company. Spirit of cooperation, we might be able to get something done here where it's in the best interest of them, and also in fixing the drainage and restoring some of the wetlands that were ruined years ago when they built three roads or dams in Steenhatchee. And we'll hear about that on 31 on the agenda. But it's a perfect time to marry these two things together and maybe get something done that all of Steenhatchee would love and be happy with. And that would be good in a public meeting going forward as well. Because we can marry these two issues and they can be happy, and then we all can be happy in Steenhatchee, I believe.
Thank you.
Hope it's right.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot about this tonight. You know, I'm a builder. It's all I've ever done is a builder. I build roads. I like to see stuff built. I like to see stuff that I can look at. I've been looking at it now about 40 years, 45. I've worked around Perry my whole life. I ride around with my daddy, and I worked with my daddy till he passed. We worked here 50 years ago, 55. Built two-thirds of the stuff around here. When I look at stuff we build, us North guys and all, now we build stuff we proud of, we ride around and look, I guarantee you, we ain't blocking nobody's stuff, we ain't blocking them out, we not destroying the waterways. You know, a matter of fact, we probably, we might spend as much as Taylor County taking care of swamp lands and timber land and feeding deer and turkeys and et cetera. And you know, when we do something, I don't like to claim, but we do it where we can ride back, you can ride around on it, the county, and say, man, this is nice. I wish we would have done this a long time ago. Because that's some of these folks that don't like it. If you make up the tax difference than what we're talking about, have y'all got a heck of an excess in tax money in Taylor County? I don't know many that does have a big excess in money. It takes money, and progress brings money in. And I heard it a while ago. I know these roads have been planted a long time ago. Where my house is in Dixie County, it was done the same time. My roads, they go out in the marsh, they go across the marsh. My land had a row of septic tanks all the way across. I could use every one of them because they were grandfathered in. I caved every one of them in. I waited till the water plant and all that was done, the sewer plant. I've done that. I didn't want those sewer septic tanks. So I kind of, you know, I don't like the way some of this sounds. What we're going to do will be good for the community. And Mr. Bent said, we know we're going to do something. I'm 60 years old. I won't be back here in 5 or 10 years talking about what we're going to do with this piece of land.
I know your reputation and your work is good. You've done a lot of work here. I understand. I know you can do some great things. My struggle is with giving away public lands, and there are a lot of people down there that have said, we want to keep that access to the river. There are so few public accesses to the river, and that's my dilemma,
I don't care, but the road ain't there. The road has never been county maintained. It hasn't been done nothing to it. And you know, if you don't do this, I'll look to one side and the condos on the other side, I'm going to fence my side. Mm-hmm. And all I want to do then is I want the county to take care of the garbage and crap that's over there. And
okay, thank you. Anybody else? Yes.
I made some comments earlier, and I've heard all of the discussions. I've heard the pros, and I've heard the cons. And I think this would be a great project for Taylor County. I do have concern about the small riverfront piece of property there, but from the map I saw, we should move the ship. That canal is on the other, some of the other property, the condos side of the street there. So if we give away the road, we're not giving away that canal. We're giving away something beside the little canal. I've struggled with this since this first came on the agenda, and I was undecided as late as this afternoon. But I'm going to vote yes. Yeah, that's that, Tom.
A while ago, when they said we never had to give away any property, right there at King Beach, behind King Beach Marina, we gave that street that went to the old bridge to the canal right there.
We did. And I think that was a mistake, but we did it.
We did. But it's been said.
You ain't done it in state action.
But that's how they can. We give that away. We give a piece of cross on the back of Ted Bird's house. We give that away. Going to the canal. I mean, we give property away to go to the waterfront before. And as far as I'm concerned, if they leave the water in the sewer, you're going to need the water and sewer anyway. You're not going to do away with that.
No.
You'll give an easement for that.
Never increase.
The condo's gonna get half of that 70-foot strip.
Yeah.
The north side, I mean, the east side, the condo's gonna get that property. They get the other half of the road, 35-foot. But he's got auction on this Miss Alder's property down at the end of nothing but marsh anyway. We're not really cutting nobody off, but the people that's gonna go down there and drink beer and cut up and leave their trash on the road. So I'm for the project. That's all I got to say.
This is public access. This is public land.
Yeah.
All right.
I understand that.
Okay, so we're gonna give away public land and negate the access for public. So
but you've got to wait both ends of that stick.
I have, and that's an illogical measure. Okay, to give away public lands. Once we give it away, it's gone forever. Okay? That land is incredibly valuable. To the degree, we don't know exactly, but we do know it's incredibly valuable. And you have majority of the people in the community arguing not to give it away. So we're still paneling.
We spent a bunch of money on the playground up there for all the people in the St. Hatch.
Right.
We have a nice community center. We've done a lot of things for people St. Hatch. Okay. And we're going to keep doing things for people St. Hatch.
Absolutely.
But a project like this is just the kind of thing St. Hatch needs. We don't need a dead end road down there. It's never been mowed, never been asphalted, never been any landmark put on it. There's a mud hole in it. After it rains, you got to put your truck four-wheel drive to get to the end of the road. I had to put mine in four-wheel drive to get to the end of that road out there. That right after that storm. So, I mean, I'm all for giving it away.
Okay. Sir, you wanted to...
Yeah, you don't miss the point.
I really don't let people keep coming back, but yeah, come on, this is so important.
Really important.
I want to hear everything everybody's got to say.
It's really important. Like he said, Mr. Murphy said, this is public access to natural resources that... I mean, if you don't want to go down that road, lock your hubs in, don't go down that. Walk down that. That's what we do. And look at the dang gulf. This that is worth not taking it away. People that don't have access, don't have a four-wheel drive truck. And if you got a problem with people leaving garbage down there, go down there and whip their rear end. Stop them with the law or whatever you have to do. We used to do that. But get the law down there. That's not a reason to close the road. That's not going to help it anyway. It's still going to be idiots to throw trash out. That's not going to stop them. But taking away that access is dead wrong, the wrong thing to do.
Mr. Ridgeway?
Let's look at 4th Street. If you walk down there and walk out where the canal is on your left and the marsh is on the right, you've got about 15 foot of dirt. It's a 70-foot access. When the surveyor goes down there and surveys, it goes into that canal. It also goes into the marsh. If you keep 4th Street open and it's fenced on both sides, those fences are going to be in the canal water and in the marsh water. You also have, if you close that or even close 1st Street, you own the lot at the west end of 1st Street. I don't think you gave an option to anybody to buy it.
There's no way you can build on that lot.
Actually, you can fill there or you can build over the top. That's been done.
You can't. I'm going to need a Corps of Engineers permit and this day and time to get right in the middle of the marsh and fill it in, build a road to it, or build a lot right there that you could have, I'd be willing to set it down to a dollar if there's no way to do it.
Hold on.
If you dredge that canal, where 1st Street is and where that marsh is a great spoil site. You have to have the spoil site to dredge. The Corps requires that. The Corps will give you a permit to dredge if you have that spoil site that close. And you would then fill in that marsh and make it buildable properties. That's being realistic. That's been done.
It's been done in the past, but that's past. There is no way you can do that right now, honestly. I mean, I'm not speaking for the Corps of Engineers, but I'm speaking for what I've seen in the past and lately. You're not gonna feel that marsh grass in us.
Well, I don't think clearly you two are gonna agree. You have an opinion. Look, stay here till midnight. You got one more point you wanna make?
One more point. Building over the water. In the last 10 years, there have been structures and homes built over water on the Steenhatchee River on the Taylor County side. And they have got permits from the Corps of Engineers.
Thank you. At this time, I'm closing the public hearing. And everyone has spoken. We've heard from some of you several times. I think I've given everybody a fair chance to speak. Now we're down to the wire now. This board has to make a decision tonight. So I'm looking for a motion of some sort.
I'll make a motion to get Road Creek away along with the sewer and the water, and the lift station can stay there. We'll have easement to it and a right to it. I'm fine with it.
I'll second the motion that's just been made.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Moody. We have a second by Commissioner Page. Any further discussion? Yes.
I have one motion. I'll second to the motion. As long as the public, or we need that access into that property, we will have it. You know what I'm saying?
No.
If we have 659, what do you call it, reverse dog?
Reverse dog. So you're saying what, ma'am?
If we let that property go, well, that 62 acres we got over there, we need access to it from that sewer treatment. That's
well, we'll give an easement. Yeah.
You give us an easement.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And water rights.
Yeah.
And all other rights the county need to get in there and out.
Right.
Through that 62 acres.
And all the fall around the business, yeah.
Mr. Bishop, since we've had a verbal agreement, if we give this up and he says next week, I'm not going to do that. Do we have a leg to stand on?
Not much, because
I'm not saying that you would. I'm just exploring all.
It's oral. It wouldn't be mine. It's oral.
Write it down before. I'll vote for the project if you write it down.
We've got a motion and a second on the floor.
If the motion contingent on the contract and the paperwork getting done,
just a minute. You have a motion. There hasn't been a motion to amend the motion.
Yeah.
You've got to file a motion. You've got to do a motion to amend the motion.
Yeah.
Then you could say that you would pass the resolution contingent on receiving an easement with the description, with the rights that that you're talking about. But that's, it's a little unique, but you can do that. But of course, you got to have a second to your amendment. You know, you made a motion to amend, and there's got to be a second on that.
Yeah, I still want to amend it. I think the county has a right.
Now I stand in second his amended motion. Since I've already seconded the original.
You're
motion.
Seconding his amendment.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. I second his amendment.
And the reason I say that. Now, if it's been there 100 years, we ain't nobody does that to live. Now, I went down there and looked at those two boats, and some people might want to call it riprap, but I don't call it riprap. I call those people lefties. The boat that I saw in there was not the 20-foot boat. It might have been $500 boat with somebody paddle out there and do what they need to do and fish some too. Now, the other stuff goes on down there. That's the low man's job. That's not our job. So, if stuff going on down there that is not right, law man need to know about it, and he needs to check it out. You appropriate his funds to, and I'm pretty sure Mr. Taylor to get on it if he knows it's there.
Okay, so would you state your amended motion?
Yeah, that the county would be given access to go across and do to our 62 acres from the sewer treatment plant and the water. Okay. Now, I'm not crazy about the what I call a mud truck, where they back the boats in there. I don't know who that belongs to. That was a iffy from what I can see.
Now, Commissioner, I need to really understand what you're saying. So, the little road that goes down past the lift station, that goes way back around and it comes back around.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you're wanting him to say we can have, even if we give it to him, we can go all the way around that whole 60 acres?
Well, not necessarily, but to that 60 acres with enough right away enough to get in and out.
That's what we have right now. We already have that right now.
That's right.
So why would we give something up and have a negatable contract?
Madam Chair, I call for the question.
That just doesn't make sense.
Motion.
Okay. I'm sorry, but yeah. Why should we already own it? Why?
But there's not nobody doing anything with it. Haven't done anything with it
yet. We're forward progress. There's things that are coming down the pipeline.
Well, I know there's been a call for the question, and I understand all, but I'm going to have to vote no, because in good consciousness, I cannot give away valuable county property and take that away from the citizens down there. I'm not going to be able to do that. Obviously, I'm going to be on the losing end, but I feel very strong that we should not be giving away good, valuable public property. So, there's a motion, there's a second. All in favor of this amended motion, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed. Nay.
Aye. Motion passes.
Now call the question on the original motion.
That's what you did.
That was the amended motion.
It's to amend the motion. Now
amended the motion.
Yeah. Now
vote on the original
motion. That's amended, yes.
Which would be the amended motion. We need to vote again?
Yes.
Okay, will you state that then?
Let the commission state.
Let me, y'all all need to understand that there was a motion and there was a second. Okay. And then Mr. Dempsey made a motion to amend the motion, which passed. All right, and now you're going to vote on the motion as amended to grant the resolution pursuant to the amendment with regard to the easement.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign.
Aye.
Motion passes, 3-2.
Now, I just got a question for Mr. Bishop.
I'm not answering your question. Go ahead.
I'll get with you on that. But my understanding of the motion that passed is that the road will be closed, the portion of the road requested in the petition, and the county will be given basically a utility easement or a easement for county employees to get to the lift station and to the property out there. It's not a public easement. I mean, the public's still going out there.
No, just the motion I voted on was just to give us an easement so we can run water lines and sewer lines.
A utility easement.
Utility
easement. I want to be clear before I leave.
What you were saying was.
Okay.
What you asked for.
Commissioner Dempsey.
So there will not be a 70-foot easement in there that we can run.
That's what this gentleman is saying, so you might want to think about that one.
Yes.
Oh. Order sewer.
Thanks. Well, you weren't ordered sewer. Yes. That's the way to
access to the county's 62 acres.
Yes.
Yes.
For a moment.
I don't think that's worked.
And if we do decide to develop with a park or something, they're going to need access in that sewer.
Well, got that access on Fifth Street.
Are you talking about a utility easement for water and sewer access into?
If you come in on Fifth Street from the backside and something happened on Fifth Street, then you can't come in on Fourth Street because you're gonna cut Fourth Street. Gonna cut it off.
The problem that I see this happen is I did not hear them say that they were going to grant an easement specifically just for utilities. I didn't hear that.
I heard that, I thought, from Mr. Thomas.
Now, the motion was to close the road contingent on easement to county property and water and sewer.
That's
what the motion said.
That's what the motion said.
And my question is that easement that, is it only for a utility easement, or is it going to be a public easement for just anybody in the public to use? If that's the case, then they know the utility.
Utility is what I'm saying.
That's why I want to make sure it's clear.
Okay, we got to speak.
Okay.
One at the time.
Now, if something happened to Fifth Street and we can't go down it, we got 6 acres over there, it was blocked off because we only got a utility easement. That looked like cutting off your nose spike face, didn't it? Doesn't it? If Fifth Street was blocked off or something happened and we couldn't use Fifth Street, we got 4th Street down there that we owned one time, and we gave you a utility easement down there, and we couldn't use it to go down, the people on the other end couldn't use this street coming in and out.
That's right.
No problem.
What do you do?
The motion says it's to the county property and the water is.
Right, I'll put another clarification, so that way we're going to go over.
Yeah.
You may as well leave the road there.
That's right. Well, if that's what Ben's motion says, then why don't we just keep Second Avenue? I mean, I thought I voted and I thought I understood that it was going to be granted a utility easement for the water and the sewer down the Second Avenue to get into that 60-acre parcel. Now, if you're going to open it up for cars and trucks and everything, why close the street here to you?
After that, I just want to clarify that if it's a utility easement, we're good with that. Then the city workers can go in there, get the property, maintain the water line, give them an easement to go over the county employee. But if it's going to be a public easement, they'd like to say there's no really.
And no reason.
The big purpose of the year.
All right, because you live with it and it was open for everybody. If we closed all the roads except the Second Avenue.
Commissioner Dibbs, it was your amended motion, and I'll, are you okay with the way it stands? And do you totally understand what they're offering?
They offered that the water and sewer and county employees are going on.
No public access.
No public access.
That's basically what. But what if her
grandchildren? This is first, this is second, and that's third. I don't know my
Third.
This discussion right now, please stop.
You said you can leave third.
Okay, here's what I'm going to do. Okay, just for clarification. Mr. Bishop, will you explain again exactly where we're at with the motion that he made and make sure that all five of us understand exactly what has been done and if we want to keep it that way?
Well, as I understood it, and you asked me to list what Mr. Dempsey's motion was, if you'll recall, and I said that it was, he amended the motion to include that there would be an easement to the property. That's essentially what I said as a practical matter. Then, the attorney for Mr. Anderson, Mr. Michael Osteen, asked a pertinent question with regard to whether it was just for utility. And that's the question. When I repeated the amendment, I didn't say anything about utility, and that's why he said that, as a practical matter. What y'all got to understand is, number one, grant the resolution to close the roads with the proviso that there is an easement to your 62 acres and also a utility easement to the other properties, then, you know, it passes. But it's contingent on them giving you the easement for utilities, for lack of a better term. That's what Mr. Osteen was asking. So you got to determine whether you think that's sufficient in this particular instance to stay with that, or to say, wait a minute, we didn't understand it that way, and that we need to redecide whether that is in fact for just utility easement, or is it for easement for the public
access.
Now, I heard that somebody saying just for county employees. Well, you know, a utility easement is not just going to be for county employees. A utility easement is for Tri-County.
Yeah.
You know, all those kind of things. So it has to. Yeah. It can't be that specific, Michael. And I think he agrees with it.
Yeah.
So, you know, y'all have listened very closely to both sides of this. I don't have a fight either way on it, but I'm just trying to explain it to you pursuant to your question, Mr. Siegel, is do you understand what you've done at this particular point in time?
Yeah, I understand what I've done.
Okay. I think y'all understand what you've done, but it needs to be clarified now, because everybody here who is here doesn't want to go off not understanding and us end up in having to come back again to determine this or go somewhere else, if you understand what I'm saying on that. So you've got to be sure of where you're at with this, that if you have passed what you've got now, it's an easement. Okay? Practical matter.
A public view.
Well,
I think the ball is in your court, Commissioner Dance. I think everybody else is pretty much set.
I think the amended motion is going to have to be withdrawn and start over, because it's been voted on previously. It's recorded in my notes that was approved by three commissioners. And it says county property and water and sewer.
But you want to throw it out and start a while, I'm with it, but
whatever y'all want to do, you know, your turn is just there, but I've reported that vote.
Okay, I'll vote for it. Let the party go.
Okay. So we don't leave it like it is?
Yes.
I want to do it a
county property and water.
For a utility.
Yeah.
And it says county property.
I want to make sure I'm exactly on the voting on the meeting.
Well, I have a note that Ms. Randerson agreed to a right-of-way access to 61 plus acres and water and sewer by easement. You got to do away with the motion, the amended motion, and make a new motion, Thomas, if that's what y'all want to do, because it says to county property and water and sewer.
Okay.
What the notes say.
Okay. I'll make a motion.
Well, you got to make a motion to rescind that.
To rescind that.
Okay.
Okay. And we got to go, and I'll make a motion to...
We got a motion. To rescind that motion, is there a second?
Yes.
Are you a
second?
Second. Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now there can be a new motion.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we let the property go with the utility easement. That's the water, sewer, and electric, whatever goes down there, and county employees and whoever need to go through it. Not public. Okay, and the union. Feel free on the backside of whatever it is.
Is that contingent on them granting that easement?
Yes, sir.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you for the service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Amen.
Item number five, the board will hold the second of two public hearings set for this date at 6:05 p.m. or as soon thereafter as possible to discuss and receive public input regarding the possible grant submission to the 2020-2021 funding cycle for the Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program, known as FRDAP, requesting funding assistance in the amount of $50,000 for the rehabilitation of Southside Park. Good evening.
Good evening. Glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you.
Thank you. We are required to hold the second public hearing. The first one has already been held for grant submission for the FRDAP funding cycle, with the second project being Southside Park. The first project has previously been approved by the board for the Taylor County Sports Complex, which is on the agenda later tonight. If you approve submitting grant application and after you receive public input on Southside Park, it will be a $50,000 grant with no match due from the board. What we have included in the grant application, which you'll be reviewing later, is renovation of the playground, renovation of the basketball courts, renovation of the parking facility, picnic pavilion, and adding security lighting and a little bit of native Florida landscaping. That's what we're doing.
Thank you. This is a public hearing. It's open now. Anybody here wish to speak on this issue? If not, the public hearing is closed. Is there a motion to approve?
I move to approve. Second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Awards and recognition number six. The board can consider adoption of resolution to Kathy Sadler in appreciation of her service to the people of Taylor County and the Board of County Commissioners as agenda by the county administrator. Is there a motion to read this resolution in its entirety?
I so move. Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
Whereas the Board of County Commissioners have been advised that Kathy Sadler retired from the position of Library Technician Program Assistant effective September 30, 2019, and whereas Ms. Sadler began her employment on January 18, 2000 as the Taylor County Library Technician, and whereas Ms. Sadler has provided valuable services to the people of Taylor County and to the Board of County Commissioners, and whereas the board wishes to publicly thank Ms. Sadler for 19 years of dedicated service to our county, and now therefore be it resolved that the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County, Florida extends its heartfelt appreciation and gratitude to Kathy Sadler for her service to the people of Taylor County and the Board of County Commissioners. Be it resolved that a copy of this resolution be furnished to Ms. Sadler and that a copy be placed in the minutes of the board. Done and ordered in regular session at Perry, Taylor County, Florida, this 7th day of October, 2019.
Thank you. Thank you. I'd like to thank the board for allowing me to speak on behalf of Kathy Sadler's retirement from the public library. I have had the privilege of working with her for her 19 years of employment. And I would have to say that Kathy's held several titles at the library. She's done several duties at the library services over the 19 years, with an emphasis on our library's program, outreach program. Kathy has served numerous of our homebound patrons in our community throughout her 19 years. She has been a pleasure to work with. She will be missed by both inside and outside of the library in public. And I would just like to thank her personally for her service at the library. Thank you so much.
And I'd like to echo that. We really appreciate your service, your years of service, and all the great things that you've contributed.
And I love every minute of it.
Okay. About this resolution.
I move.
I second.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you, Number seven, the board to consider adoption of proclamation to proclaim October 6th through 12th, 2019 as National 4-H Week throughout Perry, Taylor County, Florida, as agended by Abby Tharp, 4-H Extension Agent. Abby?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, is there a motion to read the proclamation in its entirety?
Second.
Got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries.
National 4-Week Proclamation. Whereas 4-H is America's largest youth development organization, supporting nearly 6 million young across the country, and whereas 4-H has helped many youth in Perry, Taylor County, Florida to become confident, independent, resilient, and compassionate leaders, and whereas 4-H is delivered by Cooperative Extension, a community of more than 100 public universities across the nation that provides experiences where young people learn by doing through hands-on projects in the important areas of health, science, agriculture, and civic engagement. And whereas National 4-H Week showcases the incredible ways that 4-H inspires kids to do and highlights the remarkable 4-H youth in Perry, Taylor County, Florida, who work each day to make a positive impact on those around them. And whereas 4-H network of nearly 500,000 volunteers and 3,500 professionals provides caring and supportive mentoring to all 4-H'ers, helping them to grow into true leaders, entrepreneurs, and visionaries. Now, therefore, the Taylor County Board of County Commissioners do hereby proclaim October 6th through the 12th, 2019, as National 4-H Week throughout Perry, Taylor County, Florida, and encourage all of our citizens to recognize 4-H for the significant impact they have made and continue to make by empowering youth with the skills that they need to lead for a lifetime.
Thank you. Before we vote, y'all want to say something?
I just want to really thank y'all for your support of the 4-H program in Taylor County and how much you give to our organization. And we would not be able to do the summer day camps that we provide without your support, and have a 4-H program assistant that we have without your support. And we just wanted to recognize our 4-H'ers today and allow them the chance to give back and to learn by doing. So they got a really nice look at county government for the last little bit.
Well, I want to say how much we appreciate the 4-H program. It's a great program. And you know, we've been very supportive of 4-H. We'll continue to be. And thank y'all so much for coming tonight.
Thank you. I want to say a few words. So, as I look and am, I'm a former 4-H. I guess student, is that the word? 4-H member?
Yeah, member.
4-H member. Oh, I don't know, 60 years ago, along that time, all around, I was also a 4-H member. I went to Camp Cherry Lake, and I went to University of Florida for a 4-H camp. And I still remember some of the things I learned in 4-H, maybe a few leadership skills. But stick with it. It's an outstanding program, and we're in a crowd of 4-H. And Andrew, we're proud of your leadership down there. Every week I see an article, something new you all are trying out and doing. And for that, I'm just grateful.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Okay. I move the proclamation.
Yes,
we got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Sure.
Jeez.
that's on the,
it's not board.
The award is contingent on getting insurance, right? Let's take that out of consent.
But do it.
No, that's mosquitoes, not problems.
Yeah, I mean, but it's the same.
I mean, maybe scratch.
Okay, next on the agenda are the consent items 8 through 28. Is there a motion to approve the consent items?
Just one on 22. I would think you need to take that off because there's no insurance listed in that. And if you pass it, you would pass it contingent on in getting the insurance.
This one, number 22?
Yes, sir. That's the mowing.
Landfill fertilizers?
It's the mowing and the landfill fertilizing services. So just you make a motion to take it off, and then you can address it right after you get through with the other consents.
Okay.
I'm going to approve all consent items except number 22 to deal with the
second.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now item 22 from the consent agenda is a board to consider approval or award contract for the Taylor County Closed Landfill Mowing and Fertilizing Services as agenda by Kenneth Douglas, County Engineer.
And I would just say that if you grant it, contingent on getting proper insurance.
I move. Okay. We do that?
Yes. Okay. We got a motion?
I move. Ma'am.
I'll second.
Okay, got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you, Mr. Bishop.
Yes, ma'am.
Public request number 29, Jack Smith, Forest Area Supervisor, and Jared Beecham, Senior Forester, to appear to discuss the 2018-2019 fiscal year activity reports from the Florida Forest Service for the Florida Protection Program and the Cooperative Forestry Assistance Program. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Jack Smith, Taylor County Supervisor for Forestry. So, only short and brief, I promise. The mission of the Florida Forest Service is really short and brief, protect the citizens of Florida from fire and other dangers. So, I'll leave it at that. Under our forest protection program, we do it through a cooperative agreement with the county. We appreciate all the help. It ensures a complete understanding of the commitment between Taylor County and the Florida Forest Service for emergency response. We have a county operating plan. It's a working document that outlines the capabilities and responsibilities of each agency, including timber cooperatives. We look for support from emergency service organizations to implement wild and urban interface mitigation problems throughout the entire year. And if you're not aware, the state of Florida is a wild and urban interface zone. Just people are moving into the wild lands. We maintain 4 Type 2 tractor plow units and 2 Type 1 tractor plow units. Type 2 is a 650 with a power line plow behind it, and Type 1 is a John Deere 850. It's a pretty big machine. 1 5,000 gallon water tender, 1 750 gallon brush truck, a 300 gallon brush truck. And we have 2 new additions this year. We have a 2,500 gallon water trailer that's on tracks. And that 850 to put it around. And we got a brand new machine, an all track, that carries 500 gallons of water for Mako. In addition, the Florida Forest Service Rural Community Fire Protection Program continues to provide equipment to fire departments at little or no cost to them to help them meet their emergency needs. Last year, under wildfire activity, we had 20 wildfires in Taylor County that burned 87.1 acres. This is a lower number of fires with a higher number of acres from the previous year when we had 47 fires that burned 68. In addition to the support given to FFS, before I say that, I'm going to back up. We had more acres, but it's all weather dependent. And that can't really do anything about it. The quicker we can get there, and the quicker we can solve them, the less acres are going to be. But there's some things you just can't change. I don't care how quick you get there. When you don't have enough equipment there to stop it, then it's going to get big. Mm-hmm. That's just life.
The wind's blowing, it gets big in a hurry. Mm-hmm.
We do an excellent job in this county. So mm-hmm. About 15 years ago, we haven't had a major wildfire in this county in years. I don't want to have one, but we routinely used to have 50,000 acre fires every year. If you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to do it. Back to this report. In addition to the support given to the FFS by the Four Rivers Land and Timber Company, Taylor County Commission, Taylor County Fire Rescue, and local volunteer fire departments, and cooperated with us once again, very instrumental in helping to limit the impact of fires in Taylor County. We depend on all of these cooperators, a whole bunch. They are a huge asset to us. There's only a limited amount of staffing and equipment we have, and the more people that join the party, the quicker the party goes. And that's just my short experience. We want to thank everybody for the help. We had 4 lightning fires at 31 acres, 1 campfire at 1/10 of an acre. Debris burning, this is where somebody's fire got away, you had 7 at 4.4. In the cemetery, we had 7 at 50. Equipment, we only had 1 equipment fire at 1/10 of an acre. Range of grand total of 87 acres. That ain't bad for you.
It's not bad.
You don't have to complain about it. When this whole county depends on timber industry. Through the state's open burning program, which is, I'm not trying to open a can of worms, but it's fixing to undergo some serious changes with our new commissioner, and I will leave it at that, because that's still unfolding. But we issue burn authorizations for agriculture, civil culture, and rural land clearing purposes to the residents of Taylor County. The reason we do the authorization process is to regulate and ensure proper and safe outdoor burning. We issue 628 authorizations in Taylor County for 4,363 acres and 1,742 piles. As an agency in this county, we provided assistance for 8 free suppression firearm fire requests to help protect 276 acres. And prescribed burning assistance of 151 acres. A lot of times we have more work than we can do because it's weather dependent. And our first top priority is to protect the citizens from wildfire. Mm-hmm. Not to do what they want us to do for them. And some people don't look at it that way, but if it's not safe, or if we don't have the manpower to do it safely while we're still providing fire coverage, we just can't do it. Mm-hmm. We were able to conduct 2 mitigation projects. Wall Road Circle was 1, 3/4 mile of line was plowed around Wall Road Circle community to separate it from the community and Four Rivers. That way the fire can't leave Water Circle to get to Four Rivers, and it can't come off of Four Rivers on the wall post. Mm-hmm. And that was done on Four Rivers property. We protected 20 structures with a value of, let's say, $900,000. Diesel grade was, we done fire line plowing and prescribed burning of 80 acres. protected tie structures at a value of $340,000. We, on the agriculture side, we had 61 authorized fires for a total of 633 acres with 6 piles, which is farming related. Silviculture, which is growing at trees, 76 authorized fires for 3,557 acres with 180 piles. Land clearing, 491. With 173 acres at 1,500 piles. We do on-site inspections for every first-time buyer. It's an educational tool to make sure they are being safe with what they're doing, and we can explain the laws to them. We did 54 last year. And the compliance checks that we do, I have a certain amount I have to do every year just to make sure that the burners in the county are doing what they say they're doing. Fire prevention. Our fire prevention program last year took the leadership of the Hurricane Michael, who happened along Rockland Fire Prevention Month, because it's October, happened, so we didn't do a real good job of that last year. But we did do 12 different programs in Taylor County. And we touched around 16,000 people. On every year we do about 2. So, under the rural community fire protection, is something we partnership with the local fire departments, with surplus equipment. They get it for free. We do grants. And last year, the county fire program took advantage of $5,210 worth of equipment and supplies. San Pedro Valley Landowners Association meeting, we have that every year, is the landowners in and around San Pedro Valley. We hold a yearly meeting to get to know each other. We go over our equipment, resources, and personnel, so we're not meeting while we're in the middle of the raising wildlife. So we already know each other. It's kind of a communication advantage. But we had that April 5th at the Department of Transportation. Do y'all have any questions for me?
Doing a good job, yeah.
Yeah. How many employees do y'all have locally?
Firefighting side of the house?
Seven.
Eight county men.
Eight when?
Eight county men.
Eight?
Eight county men. And as long as you see this patch on my shoulder, I can still get on board.
Can I ask another question about Parker? Jack, I read somewhere, I can't remember where there's a disease in pine now, where the needles are all shedding off. Is this something new?
No, I was going to get into that.
We
split it up. Jane does the fireside, and I do the cooperative forestry. I'll touch on that. So with the cooperative forestry assistance, it's money that agreements with the county provide for a county forester at some point back in the day. And this is why I'm here, is to help the citizens that can't afford to get a consulting forester. So during the 2018-19 fiscal year, I did 118 assists to the county. So that could be anybody from has a yard tree that's dying to some people that want to manage timber. That resulted in about 5,820 acres of land, 4 general management plans, and agricultural assessment plans. So that'd be new people coming into the county. Still going to practice forestry. It doesn't need to be residential. So I'll go out there and verify that, write a management plan for them that they follow. And that's all free work that I provide. Some of that was, to answer your question about the forest health. So if you see on there, Jack had less number of fires because we were kind of wet at certain parts of the year, a wetter year than usual. What that results into is higher number of insects and diseases at that point. Mold grows, bacteria grows, all that stuff grows wet. So this year was a higher than average, and I had a problem with pine sawfly. It tends to go where it's wet along the rivers, corridors for that reason. And all the other counties that we had the same problem. Nothing we can do to prevent it, it's just a fly that comes out and eats needles off the pines. The other thing I'm talking about, we had a place up in Madison County that I had a problem with 2 years ago, and it seems like it come down here, and it's called needle cast pine. We've had it for years, but the problem is that we see it is from last year's wet season we had late in the fall. Fungus gets on the tree, then the needles fall off the tree in the springtime, and it kind of looks like going through a drought situation that might have been from that. But I collected needles and got you have to look at it, and it was needle cast pine.
Did it kill the tree?
It, not necessarily, does it usually kill the tree? I went to a gentleman's property, and his older trees were dying that were out there. They were, you know, 90 years old, and it had flooded probably, I think it flooded about 4 foot high in his property in that area. Mm-hmm. Well, you drought the trees, it kills them, flooding the trees kills them just as bad. So you're going one extreme to the other, and it tends to cause more problems, root rot, stuff like that. So, get back on this. We did forest information education. We did the forestry FFA state contest here in Barry at the Forest Capital Park. We participated in the district free contest, which is at Lake City. We go over there and help that, which is tomorrow, by the way. We went today and set up the timber cruiser portion, so we're all going there for the FFA event tomorrow. Did the participate in the forestry summer camp over at Lingham, where the kids come from the schools to participate. They learn about forestry for a week as well. And then just various festivals we have around and the plant sale, the Master Gardeners do. We set up a booth there. We had the Southern Pine Beetle Prevention Program. We had 7 people put in for that. Unfortunately, none were approved. Hurricane Michael kind of zapped us with the money. They sent that money over there to be reforested, and I don't see a problem with that. It's pretty bad. They sent me over there to help with this program over there, so wrote contracts for those people to participate on. Equip was another one where people got money to help plant. They called me, I can steer them in what direction they need to go for programs wise. We had, I think it was 4 Equip tree plantings that were done this year, and they all passed. Urban Forestry, this is the 22nd year the city of Perry earned the Tree City USA designation. State lands, we don't have any state lands that we manage here as in forestry. We have other state lands that they'll call and I'll give help for insect disease and stuff like you're talking about. Training, did 90 hours of training to help citizens here. So in conclusion, things are getting better. This is going on my 3rd year as Taylor County Forester, and people know I'm here. So the outreach is getting better. Jack and his guys are seeing people towards me, so it's getting a lot better with phone calls and getting able to help other people out.
If I let my jasmine run up my pine tree, will it kill it?
Jasmine shouldn't. It doesn't get high enough to kill it, usually, unless it's Chinese wisteria to kill it. It's
pretty close to the top of pine trees, but it won't. They say it'll choke it out.
Well, what it does is you see some of the walking sticks it gets on my jasmine makes that corkscrew up. It can do that. It doesn't necessarily kill it. It starts to choke it out a little bit, like you're talking about, but it doesn't necessarily
kill it.
It may die other things. But
I think this gentleman had a question.
I just wanted to ask that. I can help some of the other county and I did a burn ban. Have we got one now?
No, sir.
No.
Okay. Well, yeah.
I put some on the side of the road. I shouldn't put that.
Good thing. Well, pretty quick, we're going to see one in another county, I'm sure.
Pay for it.
To deal with it. We'll get some substantial rain.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty quick. We are headed that way quickly.
Well, I've always been close to the bridge on that, so. Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to thank y'all for what you do here at Taylor County. It's good to have you here. Jack, I see you all over the place. Very visible, y'all are. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. We appreciate your report every year. Look forward to it.
Thank you.
You've been here 3 years.
I've been here 7 in the district. I've been here 7 and started filling in and then acquired the county.
Yeah, okay.
About 2.5 years ago.
Thank you very much.
You have seen people down in Old Town and down that way?
Yes, sir, down in Chief Line, some of my people from, yes.
Thank you very much, and second.
Motion in the second.
To what?
To accept this report, to be put in file.
Okay, is there a motion to accept this report and put it in file?
May second.
Got a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Item 30, Juarez Patrick, Administrator, Tarrant County Health Department, to appear to request board approval of annual core contract between the Florida Department of Health in Tarrant County and the Taylor County Board of County Commissioners.
Good evening. Patrick was not able to be here tonight. My name is Chrissy Lutz. I'm the Assistant Administrator at the County Health Department. I'm bringing to you tonight, I believe you already have your copies of our core contract that we enter in on an annual basis with the Board of County Commission. Just to highlight a few things, there's no changes to our fee service. We're going to continue the same services that we're currently offering. So at this time, we have no changes in the contract. So we're here tonight requesting your approval.
Motion to approve.
Make second.
Okay, we got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Item 11, Keith Jones to appear to discuss stormwater drainage in Steen Hatchie.
Good evening. August was a very extreme event that occurred, flooding in Steen Hatchie. And so I work in hydraulic design as my vocation, and I own property at 404 Northeast, 1st Avenue Northeast, but I'm new to Steen Hatchie. So I took it upon myself to kind of look at what's occurred and why it happened. So I have a presentation to give to you. Again, I'm hydraulic design, and I have a master's degree that specializes in water resources plant and operations. I got to give a disclaimer because of the agency that I work for. I, on a personal representation, and I do not represent the DOD or any of the agencies involved. Okay, so okay, so what I'm using to analyze the flooding in Steen Hatchie is a program, HEC-RAS, is a two-dimensional hydraulic model. And it's software that's widely used throughout the world. It's recognized as the state-of-the-art, okay? And it's free to be downloaded and used by anyone. The model, here's a representation. This is actually the model. I've put a grid over Steen Hatchie. And I've got the terrain model that shows the elevations of everything. I got that from Kenneth Dudley, who helped me. He has great terrain, so that really helped improve the model accuracy. So the model, I can actually apply rainfall amounts onto that grid, and I have a boundary condition at the south of the mouth. So I can model just a normal tide and a storm surge, and look at the response of the runoff. So August was 220 plus inches of rainfall back to back. And historically that would be a 1,000-year rainfall event, two of them right in a row. That's like biblical. Okay, so people who got flooded during that event, not surprised. You don't design for something like that, you will get flooding. Okay, but we're analyzing more for level of service for stormwater drainage, 10-year event, a 25-year, and a 100-year event. So that's about 8, 10, and about 14 inches of rain. And it's occurring in a 24-hour period. And that's what I apply for the model grid and watch the run. So this is a representation. It's the terrain, it's the Google Earth layer over it, and it's the rainfall amount, it's the water that's coming off the land and the directions that it's going. And you have First Avenue, these magenta color. It's First Avenue, 7th Street, and 2nd Avenue South, for frame of reference. Okay? And you can see that all the way up at the northern end, the water is just coming down, coming from compressional storage, and it, actually a lot of it goes in that direction of those roads. So this is 2nd Avenue South, and I want to show you one of the reasons why flooding can be improved, the stormwater drainage can be improved. 2nd Avenue South is where this wetland marsh, it used to be a remnant marsh, the flow is coming over 2nd Avenue. 2nd Avenue is like at an elevation 7, so the water has to actually get above 7 to actually go over the road. The only drainage that you have on that road is an 18-inch diameter culvert. It's really been sufficient for the mountain flow. And then 7th Street, there's no culverts there. Okay, so water's just going over top of that. And that will occur at a 10-year event. And when you get 8 inches of rain, that'll actually go over the road. And it'll be closed for hours sometimes, you know, depending on the severity of the storm, it can be closed for days. And then 1st Avenue South has 2 8-foot wide by 6-foot high concrete box culverts. And this road's elevation 5. So you got a road downstream that's elevation 7, and water is not going to go over until it goes over 7. That means that the water going to the north has to be even higher than that, so this road gets over top also. Mm-hmm. And you're all aware of that.
Yeah? Yes.
Declared emergency. Major drainage, because you have a 7th road, no culvert, the water comes down into this area. You have a sinkhole there that actually allows tide to come in and out. Because okay, it's so close to the Steamhatchet River. And that's the only outlet until you get large rainfall events and then it starts overflowing the rest. So I modeled these and I looked at some alternatives to what you can do to improve stormwater drainage by management measures, culverts on 2nd Avenue South and 7th Street and 1st Avenue. And I'm going to show you the results of this modeling. This is a 25-year depth, showing the depths of water for a 25-year rainfall event. You can see that 7th Avenue is overtopped on the very north end.
Can you point to that? Do you have
yes, it? Yes. So there's 7th Avenue, and you can see that it gets over top right here at the intersection of 1st Avenue. Flow comes down through here, goes over here, and it's headed this way. And it comes down through here, and it's trying, it would have not naturally gone through this way. Okay? And this would have naturally gone through here. But this is acting like a dam, and so is 2nd Avenue acting as a dam. I'll show you at point one, which is just north of 2nd Avenue South, the hydrographs, which are these are graphs. This is a 25-year rainfall event, okay? And so the blue is what I call a do-nothing alternative. That's what you actually have right now. That's the existing condition. And if you do nothing, this is what you experience, the 25-year event in that area. At that point, at that location, you'll get water depths close to 6, okay? And you'll get durations of flooding for, you know, this is a 16-hour increment here, these major lines coming up here. So I ran a couple of different alternatives. One is mass conveyance. This is what Kenneth Dudley asked me to do. He said, look at the conveyance capability, that's the flow capacity through the 1st Avenue box culverts, and do a similar type of conveyance capability at 7th Avenue and 2nd Avenue, or 2nd Avenue. 7th Street, 2nd Avenue, sorry. And so I did that. It's called a mass conveyance. The other one, is called degraded roads. What I basically was looking at is what if those
if we knew that all this flow was coming through here, would we actually build roads there?
Maybe not.
Okay, so I basically took in the model and lowered the roads to the existing ground elevation. So that's that option. And then the red one is the upgrade First Avenue. So I put additional culverts in there and I left in the degraded roads at 71st. But what you see is each one of those alternatives can reduce the peak water surface elevation by 1.8 to 1.6, I believe. And that what's important too is this duration here. In 16 hours, it basically responds and it's actually recovered. Mm-hmm. And you're not flooded anymore. But if you do nothing, 16 hours later, it's going to still be 1.6 feet higher. Okay? So you do have alternatives, or you have things that you can do that reduce this flooding. Okay? So the other one is point two. Now that's just north of First Avenue. And this road gets overtopped all the time. And that graph looks like this. You see a different response, okay? Because it's further upstream, it's further from the downstream point. Different shape of the hydrograph, but you also see that you can reduce the peak by 0.6 feet and the duration of flooding in 16 hours, you've lowered the water surface by 1.6 feet by doing some improvements. So, the reason why I'm here is I'm asking for the county for collaboration, okay? I would like to, we'd like to see Hatchie start a stormwater drainage task force and look at other areas where we can actually improve the stormwater drainage in Steen Hatchie, because I know just from my experience, the system's not designed, and it's something you guys inherited. No fault for that, you know, but there are ways to improve it, and there are some, maintenance that's been deferred. You have some really challenges. You have depressional storage areas that, you know, you had to pump out for a long period of time, and I'd like to have the opportunity to look at that also. I understand that, you know, you're the public policy maker, but I think we had a public meeting on Friday, and we had 35 to 40 people show up, and they would like to see things happen. You know, they're getting tired of just getting flooded and, you know, not seeing any responses. And I'd like to get them together to start a task force and kind of analyze and come up with alternatives to bring back to the county and ask for your help to improve the stormwater drainage.
Well, you know, this is... I'm in favor of finding a solution to the problem that we have down there. I brought this to the table a while back, and I think all of us pretty much committed to trying to find a solution to this problem. Help me understand the value of a task force if you've got, I mean, it seems so technical to me, and if you've got people off the street on a task force, help me understand that, because this is very technical.
Yes, okay.
So what's the value of your task force?
So the task force is basically, it allows other people to give their input into it too, and you talk about preferences. So one of our alternatives is to degrade the road. Well, some people might not see that as a good option, okay? So what you have to do is you gotta look at the benefits and also the trade-offs of any alternative that you are committing, okay? So I don't want to be the one that's going in there and saying, Steen Hatchie, you need to do this, and then have people go, well, what about me, or I didn't like that kind of thing. It gives legitimacy to the plan or the objective.
The way we normally operate is we work with staff. And of course, you obviously have already worked with Kenneth Dudley. Mm-hmm. And then we have public hearings so that the people can come and give their input. I'm all for, you know, working with staff and you know, and take that direction if that's the will of the board.
Well, ma'am?
Sure.
Okay. So Kenneth Dudley is... He
recognize, he basically said, you know, you basically are my staff, you know, you're going to do this for free, okay? And I'm collaborating with Kenneth in a good way, and I want to continue to do that. But it'll relieve him. I know he's got other things he needs to do too. So all I'm proposing is to have the time to analyze some of this stuff and develop a report, give us options, and you know, and then present that to the staff. And then you guys have to make the decision. You're the policy makers.
I appreciate you working with Mr. Dudley. We depend heavily on him, and he's a big man. He's just a lot on his plate. And you offer your services to assist Mr. Dudley with the technical part of it. As I understand it, for free.
Yes.
And that's certainly a gesture that's appreciated. The task force, I like the public hearing idea that you suggested, you know. We will keep the public abreast of what's going on and periodically have a public hearing and let everybody know where we are. Now, we all recognize, I think, that there's obviously a problem down there. And we discussed a possible funding source. I don't know if that will come through or not. And how to it's going to take money. Anytime you start adding culverts and taking out roads and doing all this, it takes funding, and that's where we come in. We've got to kind of keep it close to the vest as far as, you know, how fast we go or how slow or whatever. That's my thinking there. I rambled, I don't know if I made it clear enough.
And when I had to give you an abbreviated presentation, a public presentation, one of my first slides is managing expectations. Something like this is not done, you know, you need to prioritize, you need to have funding. It's not something where, you know, we can just go out and do right away. You know, it's too big of it.
Too big of an endeavor by all.
Yes, and you have to work with other agencies. You've got wetlands involved, you've got permitting, all these issues and stuff. And I understand those take time. I work, you know, for the federal government, I work on studies that take a long time.
We can look at various funding opportunities through grants and some other things that we're working on. I do want to make a point, though, to the board and to the public, and Sting Hatchie does have a tremendous problem. We also have other areas in Taylor County. I've got areas in my district, too, that I don't want us to forget about the other areas. I'd like to fix it all, but I realize we can't do that all at one time, but I want the public to know that we are thinking about the other areas in Taylor County. Right. Commissioner Murphy?
Well, first and foremost, thank you for your time. at this current time frame, we have a collaboration with our engineer on giving a proposal on a remedy to what the solution is, okay? Excuse me. What we have to do is keep it in the public's interest, right? And we have to keep the public involved. So if we bring a solution to the table, a proposal to the county commission, and then we go to a public hearing, okay? I don't know if task forcing, I don't know what the legality issues would be with that, because that could possibly be looked at as being biased, in a sense. So what I propose is that once you have a solution, with the engineer, have the engineer bring it to our attention, and then we put it out in the public forum and have a public hearing on the matter. Because it's like I said, it's going to be a big endeavor. And starting in Steen Hatch is where it needs to be, because it's the most, obviously, the most dangerous situation.
Mm-hmm. Right? I agree.
You know, more people are involved.
Yes.
It's a worse situation there than it is in the park. So to prioritize in that measure. Mm-hmm. So far from what I've seen, I mean, based on the adjusted proposal, it makes sense what you're saying. You know, I've looked at the LIDAR imagery, and I've also pulled up some old Air Force records that are no longer classified. And they're basically pointing in the same direction in which you're pointing. So I think what we need to do is allow the engineer to come with a proposal to us.
Right. I agree.
And that way we put it out in a public forum. But it's very interesting. I mean, it really is interesting. I do appreciate your time going forward with this.
You know, one thing too, Commissioner Murphy, is it sounds like to me that it's going to take a tremendous amount of funding for such a big project as this. And I'm just wondering, once you work with Kenneth, and he's very, very good, we may have to end up doing this in phases, depending on the funding opportunities. So kind of keep that in mind too.
Absolutely, absolutely. The reason why I started 2nd Avenue, 7th, 1st Avenue is because when you're dealing with water, you make improvements downstream that make improvements upstream. If you do it upstream, that you can make improvements upstream, but if it's got a problem downstream, that's not going to help it, and it could make it worse. So that's the only, that's a kind of the starting point that we have, and it's the major one, because you have a lot of road overtopping, and you have it for a very long duration. So again, those roads are acting like dams, and Kenneth acknowledged that. He knows this too, and that's why he came up with that match. And when I did what he asked me to do, I thought, wow, that guy has some intuitive thinking.
Yes.
He knew exactly. The responses are all the same, pretty much. They're all the same. They're not that much difference. Mm-hmm. So what it really comes down to is the cost to do the alternatives. So you can come up with different ways. There's more than one way to fix it. And so I can propose those, and you have to make a decision. And the reason why I said task force, we're kind of like, I'm trying to grasp that. I don't want to be the only one standing out there trying to have a movement, okay? I know this is in the political, this is for policymakers, okay?
Well, you know, I've talked to many people in Steenhatchee, our families during the flooding, and I think that they would trust that, you know, you get the professionals involved, and we're going to do what's right. We're going to do what funding will allow us to do. And it may take a while to, if we chop it up into phases, it may take a while. But we have an endpoint goal that we want to see, and that's to fix Steenhatchee. So I would suggest, let her speak, and then I'll let you speak, okay?
Just for everyone's information, we do have what's called an LMS working group. It's a local mitigation strategy working group. And there was discussion even prior to the rain event, but certainly during the rain event in Steenhatchee, of some upcoming grant funding that we could utilize for a study. So at the meeting on September 19th, there was a vote of the LMS working group to consider or to start working on a grant application that would require board approval for a countywide stormwater management study. And so that would not only meet the concerns in the Steenhatchee area, but there are concerns countywide because of our topography, we all know. So that is, I think, would be a good starting point for our group, and certainly, yes, we appreciate your collaboration with Mr. Dudley, but that is something that staff is working on. And of course, I mentioned to the board last week about the possibility of utilizing some of the STORE Act funding for stormwater drainage improvement. So I do think that we have, we certainly have some plans in motion to address countywide flooding and mitigation.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we changed courses recently with the recovery money, that was one of the things that we decided to do. Instead of looking at more boat ramps, let's fix some of the things that we've already got going, and if we're allowed to do that, we're committed to doing that. I can tell you that.
Wanted to just add, we did a petition, and we collected 487 signatures, just the ones in the back, total 500. But it just shows you the interest.
We know. And we're committed.
Yeah, I'm his brother, Kirk. And I had an experience as a golf course architect in the master plan of community in Marion County. And if we put back up the picture of the marsh, could you do that for me, please? I look at that as you drive into town as a focal point. I was a golf course designer, I'd be not touching it. okay? Because it's got a springhead, it's got Highland Creek, and Highland Creek was just cut off by First Avenue, obviously. It goes across the road. It's supposed to go right into the Steinhatchee River. And when I first bought there, I actually bragged to an insurance agent because we had an argument about flood damage. I bought 2 weeks before Irma, and I had a 13-foot house up and one that was 6 feet. I actually had a flood survey due on September 1st that day. They were going to come in and do a flood survey. 6 foot elevation at the base of the door. We know what happened. I had 2.5 feet of water in the house. Well, I argue with this insurance guy about, you know, what's flood damage? This isn't flood damage, this is hurricane damage. Mm-hmm. You know, if there wasn't a hurricane, I could have got 48 inches of rain, I told him, because I've got a creek, I've got a marsh, and I've got 400 yards, 6 feet to go. What an opportunity to drain on a huge rain event. And guess what happened? We got 40 inches, but because of these roads being built as dams, that water backed up, and this study that he's done has actually shown that a couple of my houses would have no water in them at all. And this really sad thing that we lose vehicles, people who are built up still lose all their machinery on the ground. And the recovery time is so important. I can mitigate the damage. The cost benefit to this is so huge. I don't think you could throw enough money at it. And how about ecotourism and allowing kayaks to move freely through that system and have fishermen, have redfish and trout coming up like they once did before those roads were built. That would be perfect, and it wouldn't be that much more to do that because the necessity is to put in some pretty good sized culverts to begin with. Yeah. And I think that could benefit the whole town. I mean, I would personally make sure that place is clean all the time because I cleaned out that spring end. If you ever go down that road and you look on the north side of the road and the south side of the road, you tell me which one is cleaner. Okay. After a while, you would have known when I moved there because I went in there and kayaked. I picked up everything. Of course, when it rains, we got stuff coming back in there, you know. So in any event, I just wanted to put in my 2 cents about the multiple benefits of ecotourism and, you know, possible small boats and kayaks.
Just to clarify, so when, because I had to ask this before, so when you discuss degrading a road.
Yeah, so removal to the existing ground or natural ground elevation.
Okay, so that's totally removing the road and returning it to the marsh condition. So obviously, part of any studies that would have to be done would be any traffic diversion. I mean, is that mean
filling the bridge? There's other ways to do this too. It's called a low flow crossing. They do this in Puerto Rico all the time, where there's a water course that goes through there, and you can have a little culvert, but they'll take the road and they'll drop it down, okay? And when it rains, like it does now, you can't use the road, okay? But if you bring it down to natural grade, the water will go right over the top of it, but you get a huge recovery, okay? It recovers fast. So that's an option to just degrade the road and no traffic going through there, okay? That's the way we originally thought. Just take the road out, disconnect it. You can't go driving through there. Maybe we build like a golf cart pass over the top of it so you can, you know, because there's a lot of golf cart traffic. Because, you know, we recognize that people would say, I use that road.
Now, which roads?
Seventh is a great candidate. Now, on 2nd Avenue, you have a little culvert like that, and you have a huge volume of water, okay? If you go right over to 9th Street, right over next to it, where that canal comes over, there's a big box culvert. That's got to be 12 by 8 feet deep. It's got the flared wing walls in there. That's the kind of structure you want to put there on 2nd Avenue. And then you would get the flow going through there. And you can still leave the road.
And on First, the perfect solution would be the same exact bridge they got over on 51 on Riverside.
Right.
It's just flat, you know, you flatten out that road, wide open, 2 sets of pillars. You can do anything through there, and it's going to allow the water to just go through there freely, no matter what happens. In and out. In and out.
Quite busy.
Yeah, I know.
Well, we know the software.
Everybody. It's fascinating, really. And I do it all day at work, and then I come home and I do this too. It's like,
it is amazing.
Certainly, Steen Hatchie is lucky to have y'all, and we are too.
Yeah, I think Steen Hatchie has a lot of talented people that we need to recognize. And really, without him, the initial movement of this could never really happen this easily, because what would it cost you to go out and do all the surveying and stuff necessary to get this type of insight right off the bat? Mm-hmm. And for me, it's easy, because I'm a golf course guy, and I can see water flowing just visually, mm-hmm. And I know where to put it, but he shows to detail the difference between making the changes, and when you see tangible evidence like that, it's pretty amazing, and it's really helpful for the people of Steen Hatchie, because property values, all of that, it's a cycle of positivity that can really start going.
And Steen Hatchie's growing my lips and hands.
Well, people want to move there, but there's also this apprehension of flooding. I live in Jacksonville, and I bought 4 properties there because I got great deals, because people wanted out. They were very leery and very, not comfortable with what could happen.
Sir, could you?
I was,
could you come up and state your name for us?
Well, I just.
Okay, you can listen. Just tell us your name for the record.
I was going to refer some of the stuff these gentlemen say, and I'm sure most of y'all have seen Hickory Mountain. Have y'all been out Hickory Mountain?
Not since they were.
Hickory Mound has got exactly what he's talking about. You've got the drainage that goes on to certain places, and then where they come out and drop the dikes down, and they a low road flats, like about 200 yards on each one of them. And when this storm water comes in, instead of washing out the dikes like it used to every time, it actually flows across there and leaves much faster when it's coming out. You don't have a flood wash set up, they're washing the dikes here and there, and it just goes across that road section, comes back out. So if y'all want to ride down and look at that, then give you an idea of what you're talking about. I mean, I'm pretty sure you know
what I've seen what you're talking about.
It does make a lot of difference on the damage from the last storm we've had, stuff like that left out there.
So to get some direction from the board, the task force is not a good idea, or it's not something that...
I don't think we're interested in pursuing that, but I think from what I'm hearing from my fellow board members, that we're interested in you working with staff.
Yeah.
And like Commissioner Murphy said, work with staff and come up with a plan and come back to us, and then we'll see, what it's all about, and just start looking at where we go, how we're going to get funding, and what's it going to cost, and...
Okay, so any analysis that I do, I bring back to a public forum.
Well, you want to work through staff, administrator
right.
And Kenneth,
right.
And then come back and present to us in
okay.
public.
Okay.
Is that what you envision?
Yeah.
The rest of you?
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bring it back in phases.
What's that?
Bring it back in phases. If you can decide that the box covers is the first thing we need to do, or whatever,
mm-hmm.
Just do it in pieces.
Yeah. So. Well, I guarantee you, I can only do it in pieces.
Yeah.
Takes time. Takes time to do this.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you
very
much.
Thank you
for having us.
Yeah,
appreciate
thank you.
It.
Huh, okay. We don't get many volunteers like y'all.
We have an interest in Steen Hatchie. We love Steen Hatchie, and to see what happened and how the people respond, it's avoidable, we believe, and that's why we did the research, and it'll be a significant difference.
Thank you.
Be great.
Thank you. Constitutional Officers, Other Governmental Units, number 32. The board to consider approval of request to purchase NEVO. Phones for 911 backup system as agenda by Katie Morrison, 911 coordinator.
Hi, Katie Morrison. So the NEVO phone, we have not had a backup system for 911 ever. There was one put into the airport, but it's never fully functional. So this is for disasters. This is for lightning striking the emergency management system. So it is a box, but the NEVO phones are the only one of a kind because they're portable. So if we have a major hurricane and it actually takes out our PSAP, we can take the backup system anywhere and still answer 911 and still answer admin calls. If I purchase the extra part, the regular phone line can go to the backup system as well.
So this is like the civilian version of an escape system. It's
just a whole backup system if something of ours goes down. Okay. We have no way to repair if we have an emergency, like all the counties that we have went down from hurricane.
Okay. Have you looked at a lot of systems?
This is the only one.
Oh, it's the only one.
And this is a $22,000
versus each station building up for a backup of 13 to 22 apiece.
Hmm. And we do have this budget.
Well, we budgeted.
I think that's the budget.
You're not budgeted into my thinking.
All right.
And so basically this is a sole source, so we would not be going out for quotes on this. So, and this is the only.
There's nothing even similar to it. And this will also be saving on that last page. Consolidating our bills with a digital is going to be saving about $10,000 fiscal year.
Would the mobile application link you up with like what's called the MACOM system, how the governor of Florida operates through a MACOM system? It will not be...
No, and digital has all of their stuff.
Separate.
Yes. And that's why we're going to be consolidating some of our bills with them so that they're basically taking care of our system and our lines.
I see. Okay.
What's the pleasure of the board?
Motion to approve.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
This equipment will be kept in emergency management. It will be kept in emergency management?
Yes, it will be kept in a box in emergency management. All right, thank you.
Next, our county staff, items 33, the board to consider approval of grant for Taylor County artificial reconstruction as agenda by Victor Blanco, Marine Agent.
Good evening, everyone.
Hi.
Hey. I think I have a lot of interest in that. In March, we sent the application to FDUC for construction of new artificial the deployment of new artificial reconstruction in Buckeye and the monitoring. We got a grant for both of them. Today, we're just asking to approve the agreement with FDUC for the $60,000 grant for new deployments, and in the next meeting, I will be sending the agreement for the monitoring program, which is for $10,000 as well.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No, no questions.
Is there a motion to approve?
I move.
Next item.
Got a motion by Commissioner Dent, second by Commissioner Murphy. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay. Item 34, the board to consider approval of addendum to contract for State Housing Initiative Partnership SHEP Program Administrative Services with Government Services Group, Inc., GSG, to extend contract for a period of 1 year as agenda by the grants coordinator. Is there a motion to approve?
No, second.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item 35, the board to consider approval of grant application and adoption of resolution required for the submission of a grant requesting funding assistance for the rehabilitation of Southside Park for the 2020-2021 Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program, known as FRDAP, as agenda by the grants writer. We have a resolution.
Motion to read by title. Those are the first few words.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Bishop.
Whereas the State of Florida Department of Environmental Protection established the Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program, and whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County is eligible to receive an award under this program for the rehabilitation of Southside Park for recreational use for the citizens and visitors of Taylor County. Those are the first two paragraphs.
Thank you. Is there a motion to approve the resolution and the grant application?
I move.
Second.
Okay, motion by Commissioner Dix, second by Commissioner Page. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Did you want to say something about it?
No, you guys are being awful easy on me.
This is for the next item.
Two people like the wrong things every time.
The board to consider approval of grant application and adoption of resolution required for the submission of a grant requesting funding assistance for the Taylor County Sports Complex for the 2020-2021 Board of Recreation Development Assistance Program for that, as agended by the grant's writer. Is there a motion to read the resolution by title only?
Motion. Second.
We got a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Mr. Fisher.
Well, it's the state of Florida Department of Environmental Protection established the Florida Recreation Development Assistance Program, and whereas the Board of County Commissioners of Taylor County is eligible to receive an award under this program for improvements to the Taylor County Sports Complex for recreational use for the citizens, and visitors of Taylor County.
Thank you. Now, is there a motion to approve the resolution and the grant application?
Motion. Second.
A motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. General business, item 37.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And the pictures I just passed, you know, there was some question last time about the paving of the trail, and there's a section
that's
there.
That's the trail that was running.
And it's, I'm not for myself, but it is unsafe. And at the Chief Crab meeting today, that was referenced by the Chief Crab members, but I just want to give you guys pictures.
Imagine you brought that.
Thank you.
That's good to see that.
Yes, thank y'all.
Thank you. Item 37. Sorry you had to wait so long. Michael Langton, Project Manager, Lewiston Associates, Inc., to appear to request board approval of First Restore Act Direct Component Grant Program application for the planning and design of the Keaton Beach and Steamhatchie Boat Ramp Dredging Project's quarterly status report by Lewiston Associates, Inc. on Restore Act Grant Writing Consultant and Program Administration Services provided for Restore Act Direct Component Grant Program Part 1 Projects. Thank you for your patience.
No. For the record, Michael Langton, 1300 Oak Haven Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Thank you, Chairwoman, members of the Commission, distinguished staff, for allowing us to be here today to read the presentation. I promise you that I will keep it to less than an hour.
Thank you.
Maybe 10 minutes at most. I had the pleasure of having with me the other one of my staff and Christine Lane. So we're all happy to be here. So what I'd like to do is make a quick status report on the Restore Act hotline first, and then we'll talk about some other things, and then we'll talk about the railroad status report on the railroad separate item, I believe. Okay, so we provide two functions for you, grant writing and grant administration on Restore. On the grant writing side, our consultant team, mainly Christine and Heather, have been working with the man of the hour, her name mentioned often the evening, your county engineer, in drafting the Project 1 grant application. And this is for planning and design of the Keaton Beach Canal and the Steamhatchie Boat Ramp. It's in the amount of $175,000. What we decided to do is to do the planning there first and then for the full money.
You said $135,000.
Yes, sir. The grant application has undergone both county staff's approval and has been reviewed by Treasury officials, which is a big obstacle to overcome each time. And they've suggested some edits. We've made those edits. So if you approve it tonight, which I believe will do the conclusion of my remarks, hopefully, you'll consider approving it, then we will submit that in what's called grant solutions. It's the software that you have put in through Treasury. And we'll submit that in the next few days. We would hope that the start date would be November 1st. Because they've approved everything. And so we just, you know, they've had time to review it, go over it, and made the edits that they wanted. So it should be a very rapid approval on that. Okay?
Now, Brandon. No, that's just when you start the design. And
yes, it's called planning and design.
I didn't want anybody to go away and
think
in a canal about it.
Exactly. Very, very important to understand to make sure expectations are in proper order. Yes, sir. So it's just for the planning design. Shouldn't take that long, but while that's happening, we'll be preparing the grant application for the full implementation. But we have to have the planning design first before we can actually complete those documents. So now on grant administration, again, our team has been working with Kenneth your county engineer to draft the RFQ to solicit a contractor. Because you have to go through the process. These are BP dollars, but they've been called, what's called federalized. Since they go to the Department of Treasury, they become like a federal grant. So you have to meet all the federal grant requirements. And as Melody always keeps you out of trouble with these things, we're attempting to keep you out of trouble on these in terms of 2 CFR 200, those are the main book of rules that you have to go by. So we have to bid it out. So Treasury has already approved, submitted it for desk review of the RFQ. They made some changes, we fixed them, and we're ready to go. So we've worked with county staff again to develop a financial management system for the payment process, which is very important. We've worked with the county staff to review the current approved policies and procedures to ensure they are in compliance with the new program standards and conditions of the program. That was all done in December. Tomorrow, we're here also to conduct an anti-fraud awareness training. Now, it doesn't mean you think you guys have problems with fraud or abuse, but it's a requirement of the program. And so Heather, a whole lot of my staff is an expert in this area, an expert on 2 CFR 200, which again is the rule book of federal grants, and she will be conducting that for your staff. Any of you that would like to stop by, that's perfectly fine. Heather, is not hot where? Here?
Here. Upstairs?
In this room.
Right
here. In this room. Okay. So if you get out of here before 9 o'clock, maybe you can come back for a lunch.
Are you coming?
I'm coming. You have to have a brain on us. Okay. You promise to come. Okay, so, not that's for abuse. No, promise some donuts for dependency. Probably is. I take that out. No problem. Okay. I wanted to make one comment while we're on the Restore Act, and that is, I know you're all giving serious consideration to change your top three projects. It's probably a wise move because we've gotten indications that permitting might be a severe problem. If you do that, Lincoln Associates can help you. We're prohibited from helping on any projects in the plan because we help write the plan. But if it's a new project, we can help you. Soup to nuts, help you from day one on. And there's no prohibition against that. And we operate the same way we do with Pot 1.
No work and no money.
We get pied out of the funds, no money out of the capital. Yes, sir. Absolutely. Commissioner Dutch, you're on it. Okay. So, but another thought I have, just being in the room tonight, is that Stenhatchie stormwater drainage or the entire county stormwater drainage study would be an excellent project for this. Mm. Now, the other thing is HMGP, as the one that's mentioned, she's on top of that, as she is at everything, but what we could do with that is, we're going to be tomorrow morning to talk some more about that. Because I have a staff member that's an expert, absolute expert, got tens of millions of dollars worth of programs. And they're very complex. But you can not only just apply for the planning, you can apply for the planning and the future improvements. And the other thing is, you have about $3 million, almost $3 million.
$2.8
million. That's been designated to you. You will get that if you put in the right applications and you commit to the 25% match. Okay? You gotta do it. You gotta go through the LMS study that she said. You gotta put those applications together and you gotta work with FEMA staff. You gotta work, of course, with DDP staff, DDM staff, and then you gotta work with FEMA. But you can do it. And 25% match, here's the beauty. You could use restore dollars, even though the federalized has match for that 25.
We discussed that.
Oh,
the possibility.
So,
breaking it out in segments. Okay. And using Restore Act funding for the coastal areas,
right.
And then using HMGP funding for the non-coastal areas.
Perfect.
To try to provide a match.
It's great thinking, and we all have the flexibility, the opportunity, I think, to mix and match and make this all happen, mm-hmm. potentially without any additional impact to your citizens, which would be one thing, right, Richard?
Right.
Okay.
Amen.
All right. Amen.
All right.
And I'll stop, see if there's any questions, and then I guess we'll take up to the issue of. Approving the grant or not. Is that appropriate?
Can you give us, or just refresh us on a timeline for this project as a whole? I know that we're in the very beginning stages as far as the grant application for the, for the planning, the design, the permitting, but can you give us some type of idea of what that process will take and then what we have to do as far as submitting the grant application for the actual dredging? Because I'm assuming that we'll go through the whole desk review process. So I know our citizens and our commissioners and our staff get frustrated with the amount of time that it's taking, but we're kind of backing into the approval process.
Exactly. Yes, I mentioned I think we can get an approval from Treasurer by November 1st. And at that point, I'll turn it over to Heather. She's the most knowledgeable on the steps.
So, Department of Treasury has a 1-year minimum performance period on all planning and design grants. We can close it out, and we do expect to have it closed out around a 10-month period, but we do expect, you know, for unforeseen obstacles to happen. So Treasury would rather wait and give us an entire 12-month performance period and highly encourage us to use that 12 months to our
event. So we'll have an entire year to go through this phase, but then concurrently,
right,
the grant application for construction will be written concurrently. So as the design is finishing, as we get like 30, 50, 75%, that's enough for us to go ahead and start writing the implementation grant, the construction grant, and then that will be ready to go and probably have undergone desk review prior to submission and very quick turnaround. So John Stubbs is the representative for Taylor County. He's the Treasury representative, and we work with him on a daily basis. This is, we have a really good working relationship with him, and he knows how important these projects are to you, and so he works with us. So at any given time, we can always amend these as well. So if we finish the design faster, he will allow us to go ahead and end this and move into implementation.
Yeah, how much money in the pot one?
In your pot one account?
What account?
Well, and you mean currently how much is it?
Well, I mean, how much total can we expect for the dredging part of this? Is the pot one?
Around three.
3.1. Yeah, and the planning part's 175. Yeah, just doing some numbers.
Sure, right. Great.
So, we won't dredge a lot, but well, whatever we get,
construction was estimated at 1.8.
The what now?
The construction portion of the dredging project for a Keaton Beach Canal is about 1.6 to 1.8.
Okay, so this is a rough estimate. We don't, you know, we'll know until we get planning done, design.
So we do a design, and I saw some drawings I remember several years ago from somebody, and it showed trapezoidal cross sections of canals.
That was the Jones Edmonds feasibility study.
Jones Edmonds.
That we've been using throughout this process.
Yes.
So we had to do all that over again.
No,
that was just the feasibility study. This is actual the design and permitting.
Okay. It's building on that. I would characterize it as building on
building on what?
No, it's not building. All right. Okay. Absolutely.
I put the word feasibility study, and this is what you're doing, is no work at all. No more sitting at the office, and do you go out to physical sites and actually study this and do any kind of
us?
Yes.
No, but no, we have to do an RFQ to hire the consulting firm to do that.
Okay.
They get paid $165,000, not us, we don't do that.
Okay.
We just keep you out of trouble with feds and rent your grants and the ministry. keep you good, non straight, non narrow. Don't get in trouble. That's our job.
Okay.
Single focus.
No money, no spend it and get something done.
Exactly. We're going to do is that. And just to caveat what Heather was saying, Treasury has their silly rules and we have to comply with them.
Okay.
And that's our job to keep you out of trouble and comply as best as possible. They say you have to be a year grant. If we get this done in 7 months, we're rocking and rolling. We're not going to wait 12 months, okay? So rough estimate was 10 months. It could be 7 months, could be 8. It just depends how quick. We're ready with the RFQs. We're doing everything as much, you know, we're working ahead of the schedule as much as possible. So that once they approve it, RFQs on the street, and we get this going. And Kenneth has been super helpful. So with that, did you want to take up
any questions? Any more questions? So, if there are no more questions,
then
I would say, is there a motion to approve for submission to the Treasury?
Yes. Second.
Okay. Who made the motion? You did? We have a motion by Commissioner Murphy, second by Commissioner Gibbs. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries. Item 38. Mr. Langston to discuss the quarterly status report on construction, engineering, and inspection services provided for the Taylor County Federal Railroad Administration, FRA, competitiveness and employment by rail, CEBYR, Patrick.
Thank you again, Madam Chairwoman. I'm going to take off my fixing your water problems and put my railroad hat on now. Yeah, because that'll be your railroad hat to administer. Lankin was selected by a competitive RFP back in June of this year to provide construction, engineering, and inspection services, as well as grant administration services. Well, now I'm not an expert in all that stuff, so we brought on board a person that is. A gentleman named John Sustan, whose company is called Track Guys Consultants. And Track Guys is incredible qualified. He's the one that rebuilt designed the rebuild of the World Trade Center when it was initially bombed and just when the train was all knocked out. And then after the 9/11, he was involved in that also. He's been involved in every big project from the metro in Washington to the trains in Atlanta. He's just a super qualified guy. He's on the team working for you. And so that's what we're doing. That's a $17.3 million grant. $8.5 million, roughly $8.6 million is coming from the feds, and the other $8.6 million is coming from the railroad itself, the Georgia Florida Railroad. And so that's a pretty big deal. You want to make sure that it's done right. And so we're on it. So we serve as your grant administrator. To date, project tasks have been completed and submitted to the Federal Railroad Administration. Task 1 is environmental review. Task 1.4 was the preliminary and final engineering design of what the improvements are going to be to the 81 miles of track. Task 5 is the grade crossings and diagnostic safety. There's a lot of technical terms, but what it means is just the plan to where the crossings are going to be and how the design is going to be and how the tie is going to put down all that stuff. Task 1.1 and Task 1.2 is the actual work plan and the schedule, and then the project management plan. Now, we've gotten all that written and done, and it's to your staff now to do their final blessing. And I think maybe the next day or two we can get that done, and then we will submit that. We're right on target in terms of getting this thing going. We have also created an internal accounting and payment reimbursement policy and procedure for y'all that's been approved by the railroad. We have drafted the RFP to the construction contractor for the railroad. Well, we didn't draft it, we worked with it, we reviewed it. And John, also the railroad track guy, has reviewed it. And that seems to be on course. They're going to do a bid process, a bid kickoff meeting with potential contractors, and they're going to do it somewhere along the track, hopefully we'll do it here in Perry, not sure when that's going to be, but soon. We hold weekly calls with the railroad staff, and then we hold monthly calls with the Federal Railroad Administrators. Those are the interesting. And in almost all cases, Alonda and team and Melody, who are our counterparts, you can do it without two of them, are on all those calls. And bad news for you is that we're going to be back here at least once a quarter to report to you. And so you can shoot both narrows at us, or you can give us accolades, or whatever you feel like you want to do at that time. But we're on board, we're going to make sure that this thing gets done right with the capable hands of your staff. So I'll answer any questions based on that. I think my hour is up.
I think if I were you, I would pick a time where we don't have 40 items or more. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but we snuck out for quick dinner for your game. We're starting. I've been in public life myself. I was a member of the House of Representatives for almost 8 years. And this business is 39 years. So I know well what I mean. It looks like it's going to go way overboard. So those are serious issues that you have to give proper consideration to.
Thank
so,
you for the advice. And we appreciate it. I'm sorry you had to wait so long.
Not at all. We're spending the night. So
thank you.
Thank you.
Hopefully, I'll get to see you tomorrow.
Yeah.
9 o'clock, yes.
Right. Item number 39, the board to consider appointment of two members to the Taylor County Development Authority, TCDA, Board of Directors, as requested by the county administrator. We have ballots. I want to just say that these ballots will be here after the meeting if anyone would like to see them. Or after tonight, the clerk will have them in her office. If anybody wishes to see it, it's a public document. Thank you.
Thank you.
once we pass them down to you, Comrade, we'll continue on and just let me know when you calculate them.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank
you, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Finishing. We'll move on to item number 40, the board to discuss rural off-site hours in district boards, which is agenda by Commissioner Keeble. Please go ahead and explain that how this came about. I just had a series of town hall meetings in my district, and when I had my town hall in the Osceola River area, I had quite a large turnout of people. It was standing room only. And one of the things that I do when I have town hall meetings is I try to put together a little agenda of things that I think would interest that area of my district. And then, of course, I allow people to ask questions and give comments and all of that. So one of the things that I had on my agenda was to talk about the days of operation for the roll-off in my district off of 14. And the reason I did that is because quite a few of my constituents have contacted me and wanted to know if we would consider changing the days of operation. And so I said, well, and that's the reason I put it on the agenda. All the 100% of the people that were at my meeting that night, and I did say, say again, it was standing room only, and they all wished to see a change. And the change that they would like to see is currently that roll off.
Is it mine?
That's Jim.
Jim's mine. You did something wrong, Jim?
Yeah, 3-4.
Currently, that roll-off is closed on Friday and Saturday, and my constituents have asked that it be open on Friday and Saturday and closed through the middle of the week. So what they're asking is this, that it be open Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and be closed Tuesday and Wednesday. And their reasoning behind it is because the people that work are obviously they're off on Saturday, and it would be more convenient for them to use the roll off. And then you have a lot of fishermen and visitors on the weekend that it would make it more convenient for them to drop off their trash before they leave town. So that's where we are, and I'm asking. What I'd like to do is change those days to be open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Monday, and be closed on Tuesday and Wednesday. Yes?
Yes. I'm Ron Edwards, volunteer for Island Mountain District FEMA, and that just concerns your district and my office district. We wasn't, no one was aware of what you were going to pull this up at your town hall meeting.
That's why they need to come.
Well, I didn't see anything about any kind of considered both districts. So anyway, when I found out, it was several days later, and I started going around and talking to myself, everything's been going smooth. So I got out and got several names, all of these are from Malcolm's district. These are from your district in favor of leaving as is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to start in a rigmarole or nothing like that, but all these are in favor, and I'm representing these people, that's all their signatures. This is called redneck petition, I don't know. But anyway, I would like you to consider leaving as is. As far as the fishermen and everything like that, leaves, it was originally set up to be open on Sunday to accommodate all the campers and hunters and fishermen that left. So it was called that huge one that leaves it on Sunday.
by changing this, you're going to change the sign, which is going to cost you money. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people upset because they're going up there and they don't know what to change, and they go up there with trash, dump it, and it's going to be closed, mm-hmm. which is going to upset some people. So I am asking you to reconsider, along with these other people, to leave it as is.
Yes, sir.
So, if I can, I don't know what I need to do.
Yes. I did, thank you, sir. Now, did you collect all of these yourself?
These were collected by me, and I didn't get them. I went out and got all of them.
And who were these collected by?
These were collected at the dump. The LSU run is from my district, East Bay. The yellow sheet is from your district. The white sheet is from, I think there's one name on there that's from your district. I think probably Kenzie is on there, but everybody else is from your district. And we didn't have enough time to get, we could have got some more money, but we didn't have enough time to get out and cover there and everything.
Right. Well, I did, I've been on the phone for, especially today, and I see some of the people that signed this, and I did speak with them today. And I've had several people tell me that I signed that sheet because the roll-off attendant does not want to work on Saturday. And they said to me, I have no problem with the hours, with the days being changed. I have no problem personally. I only signed this because the roll-off attendant asked me to because she doesn't want to work on Friday and Saturday. And everybody that I have talked to, which is a lot more than this, are wanting that change. It's in my district, and my constituents have spoken to me, and I would like this board to change the dates as my constituents have asked me to change it. I appreciate what you've done.
Well, like I say, I'm ready. I could go into detail about the fire departments in Mountain District, but we service your district. So I think everybody should be considering all of that right.
Now, if I knew there was a petition needed, I could have got many more times.
Well,
this,
I had no idea.
I didn't realize that was the way it was, but I mean, I value your input, but I'm representing my constituents at my roll-off in my district, and
I'm sorry, but it's not your roll-off, it's a county roll-off. It's in your district that's shared by three districts. Do y'all understand that? I'm sure. You got property down there. You got any
one of those? I've got a place down there, but I've got a lot of people call me. They want it open Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
And Monday, because people that go down there spend a weekend a lot of time, they're going to head home on Monday morning, and they want that dump open where they can bury trash off when they head back to Georgia. That's my people. And the weekend, if an employee don't want to work on the weekend, people work all over this county on the weekend. They need to adjust their deal about that. Yeah,
thank you.
There's days that there's not but two people go to that dump site, two. I looked at a list one time, they were keeping the number of the people that went to the dump site. There were days that went by that one, and days that went by that were two or three.
And that's probably that Tuesday and Wednesday too.
Yeah.
Talking about closing it because I wouldn't expect.
I'm in favor, John.
Thank you. May I
ask Mr. Bishop some advice? The roll-off attendant there, her grandfather and my father were half brothers. So I have a conflict, I think, since that's a bad separate codes.
It's a waving cousin.
It's a waving cousin. I want to say, Ron, that since the roll-off attendant is going to act cousin. Now, I better not, for fear of an ethics complaint, weigh in on that. I do appreciate the input, and I appreciate the structure of the community. And herefore, if the roll-off site is in a commissioner's district, mine or wherever, we should all listen to that commission. So I couldn't vote if it comes to a vote.
I don't understand what you're saying.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand the legal aspects.
But you made a good point. That roll-off site is used by the folks down in 18, which is in my district.
as well as those in Mineral Rise and Bandy Lake, so forth, and family district. We all get along. And I think I expressed this to Wanda early on in this discussion. Me personally, I don't use the road outside. Unless I happen to be down in the woods, not want to throw a Pepsi ball out or visit my cousin. So it doesn't make any difference to me personally. Except I do have an obligation to those constituents down there. But, you know, we got a lot of problems we deal with because of commissions, a lot of stress. Let's leave this thing, Ron, if you agree, like it is, and see how it works. If it doesn't work, then just bring it back again. If I could, I'd make a motion, you know, that we change, leave it like it is. But I don't think I would be able to do that.
I understand that, but I appreciate it, Mr. Gill, if you, whenever you have something that's overlapping your district, like going into this district, if you would let it be known where people can go to that. I've been the one who's making stuff up because it had to do with the first response and fire and stuff like that. And I'll see if I hope that makes. But as far as that goes, when you have your meeting in your district, I don't know about them, I don't know if they're taking care of it, but where it overlaps like this, we would like to be considered.
Sure, everybody's invited to my town hall meetings, no matter what district that you live in, because I represent the whole county.
I think you're doing a good job. I'm not arguing with you as far as what you're doing or what you're not doing. You do a good job. You do a town hall meeting, that's very commendable.
Thank you.
But at the same time, we're elected. When it's overlapping, we just like to be in the blues. So,
well, what? If you let me know, you know, can you give me your phone number? Or do you
sure.
Want to, okay.
That's 223.
What's that again?
223-175-8. And I can get the word out.
I sure will.
If I hear about it, I'll call you.
And I'll try my best to remember when I'm having a town hall meeting. If for some reason I don't remember, just when you see that ad or see those signs down there, give me a call.
Well, I called you on the call and often.
But I mean, before my meeting, if you want to call and see what I'm going to talk about, and then, you know, things come up while I'm there that's not. You know, I have a little agenda, and then I give everybody an opportunity to say what they want to say, ask any questions they want to ask, and so I'd love for you to participate.
Sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mr. John Hart and Ms. Sandra Parker are here too.
Okay, John Hart and Sandra
Parker.
Is there a motion to approve these two candidates to be new members of the TCDA?
Motion to approve.
Second.
That's a motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Attorney, County Attorney Items Number 41. The county attorney to discuss documentation received from neighbors Giblin and Nickerson regarding the notice of intent documents required by sections 197.3632 Florida statutes. I'm sorry, I got so carried away. Thank you for reminding
me. And the motion to change the hour of the day.
The motion will be to have the roll off open on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and closed on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Do you want the hours to be the same as?
Yeah, for right now. Yeah. So, does anybody want to make that motion or?
I can't. I'm still not a form one.
Okay. Motion by Commissioner Moody, second by Commissioner Murphy. Any further discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Now, item number 41.
This is a letter that I got from the Nickerson, the neighbors, Gilpin, Giblin, and I want to say Giblet.
It's getting late.
It's been a long day, and as y'all well know, Monday is Funday. Monday is my favorite day of the week. Y'all want to know why?
Why?
Because once it's over with, you don't have to face it for another whole 6 days. But anyway, if Miss Heather in Sinosa, who y'all recall was there down in Dixie County, and she wrote me this letter. And essentially what she's saying, that if in anticipation of development of special assessment programs, the first thing you do is form a resolution concerning the potential use of the uniform method to collect non-ad valorem assessments, which requires two exhibits. I read this letter and I was a little bit confused by it, to tell you the truth. She says that in anticipation of Taylor County may consider the development of special assessment programs to fund fire protection and solid waste collection and disposal service facilities and programs in the unincorporated and all incorporated areas of the county.
Yeah.
The special assessment is just on the unincorporated areas.
I thought that when I read that too.
I read it backwards and I read it forwards, and I said, so. And then she attaches to it a legal description of the entire county, which, you know, you couldn't do that because that includes Perry,
yes,
the city of Perry. But all, you know, this could be corrected, of course, if you decide that you want to do this resolution to start the ball rolling on that. Also, I wanted to talk to you a little bit, and I know you want to say something.
Oh, no.
You don't want to say nothing? Well, yeah. I talked to Annie Mae this afternoon. She called me. You want me to go ahead, Annie Mae, and tell you what she said? Okay. Just as a way of history, in 2012, it's ordinance number 2012-07, that was an ordinance that y'all or your predecessors amended all the ordinances that you had up to that point with regard to special assessments. You know, they've been going on. And in this one, you said that we added a definition of hunting camps, an assessment for hunting camps that is consistent with those of recreational vehicles and to be set of 1/3 of those of other dwelling units. And so the definition of hunting camps shall mean a remote establishment providing shelters such as a recreational vehicle, mobile homes, or any shelter that is used for hunting on a temporary basis during established hunting season, and it's not a place of residence. That's what, you know, we went round and round on determining what a hunting camp was. So that's the definition of it at this particular point in time, okay? And then it said the maximum assessment per assessment shall be no more than $154 per year. Hunting camp solid waste assessment shall be set by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners at an amount equal to that of recreational vehicles and 1/3 of other dwelling units. Recreational vehicles or active RV power poles, solid waste assessments shall be set by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners at an amount equal to 1/3 of other dwelling units. So that's your law now. That hasn't been amended at this particular point in time. So, really, what you'd have to do if you're going to change what the maximum would be, which would be more than 1/3, then you'd need to amend this ordinance here. I just want y'all to understand that. And also, of course, remember what Ms. Espinosa said, that whatever the assessment is, number one, it has to benefit the property.
Right.
And number two, it has to be proportional, fair and proportional. So I want y'all to keep that in mind, whatever you decide to do with respect to this.
Thank you. And what I would like to say, when you adopted the ordinance, and I think she's under the impression that you don't have a solid waste, that you're beginning from the start. That way you would have to start your advertising in November, have your public hearing in December, and advise the Department of Revenue and Property Revenue and Tax Collector budget for January the 10th. This procedure, all you need to do is change your ordinance. Either repeal it and do a new ordinance for solid waste for all of it. You've got 154 in here already, is to amend it for the hunting camp part. And at the time you adopt your budget, you remember the other night, you adopted a resolution at that time setting the solid waste at 140, and then you had one setting the hunting camp set for $46 and something. So it's a lot more expensive if you go around Cabela and Mark back there, that's why I asked him to come, so you could see how much it would cost you to do that special assessment just to change that one thing. Because you already have a solid waste ordinance.
Now, you'll go ahead and we'll
be yes, sir, just so I can get on the same page with Miss Annie Mae. And, all right, I think I sent you a copy of the email that I got back from Miss Espinosa about what is the requirement if the board chooses to increase the assessment. Did you see that email?
Okay. Are you talking about just increasing the hunting camps to 140, or are you in the future going to change the whole solid waste ordinance?
No. I sent Ms. Encinosa an email that read, our board would be interested in an increase to the assessment percentage for RVs and hunting camps to a different percentage. Are we required by Florida Statute Section 197.3632 to follow the same calendar and notice requirements in place for the potential use of uniform method to collect non-ad valorem tax assessments? And her answer was, if you are going to increase the assessments, the notice requirements in 197.3632 would need to be followed, assuming you collect on the tax bill. So I emailed her back and said, thank you for your assistance. Just to be clear, we would have a January 1st deadline to adopt the resolution, correct? And she answered, the January 1 deadline applied to the resolution of intent. It must be advertised once per week for the 4 consecutive weeks immediately preceding the public hearing. So, does that not mean that if the board wishes to increase the assessment for next year, that the board would have to adopt a resolution of intent by January 1st?
No, because, Mark, come to the podium, please.
Yes, sir.
If you do it just for hunting camp and you go through the procedure you're talking about, you have to send a written notice to everybody.
Yes, sir.
To everybody that has this special assessment right, aren't we?
Correct, absolutely.
And he's told me today there's probably 3,000 people who have an RV or a hunting camp. So if you go there just to change that on a hunting camp, you're going to have to pick how much you say it costs.
I'm thinking 16,000. I mean, that's just a round number I'll put on out. We've got the numbers here. Four Rivers has already sent their bills out. I'm pretty sure Charlie sent a letter stating that there may be a change in it. The issue for us as an office is going to be, we're sending out bills in November for $46.67. And then we're going to turn around in January and ask them to pay the two-thirds more.
No, it wouldn't affect the January.
Okay, so they're going to wait until the year.
They're going to have their ordinance change.
Right.
Notices to everybody that the public hearing and all, it would be not be effective until October 1st next year.
Okay. So, I mean, that's completely up to you guys how y'all want to do it.
Well, first of all, we never decided for sure that what we were going to charge hunting camps. We talked about 140. And then I think there were thoughts of less than that. So to my recollection, we never decided that we were going to charge $140.
Right.
We did discuss it. So, yes.
Well, Conrad, look at the dates on your ordinance. When they changed it before, we went through the same process when they reduced it to the 46. And that was done in April of that year. So that way, when the ordinance was changed and the board set that rate in their final budget hearing, there's a resolution set for that year. Mm-hmm. That begins October 1st. That's the procedure for this kind of change.
I would agree.
Yeah.
What?
Get Conrad, and I want to say something. Well, we've done this in
we did it this way, and I think we can do it this way. Now, if we have, you know, I'm going to call her on the phone again and make sure that she understands what we've done in the past. And I might have Amy on the phone listening.
Well, she says in the very first sentence, in anticipation that Taylor County may consider the development of special assessment programs to fund fire protection solid waste. You already have that solid waste.
Well,
you don't have the fire, but you have the solid waste.
The question was, though, I was there at Dixie County, okay? That question was asked her, and I think she gave the same answer that she did in her email, but again, I don't think she understood exactly what we were talking about. At least I hope not. But the other issue that I raised my hand on was the whatever you raise the, if you decide to raise the hunting camp, a special assessment, just remember that it's got to be proportionate. Okay? In other words, it's got to be kind of scary to do it without a study if you're going to raise it to
four.
What? Yeah. Are y'all following what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's got a benefit. It's got to have the same benefit.
How can it have the same benefit of a
dwelling?
You see what I'm saying, Malcolm? You see what I'm saying? Everybody see? Everybody understand what I'm saying?
May I speak?
Sure.
I don't want to lose my temper here. I came up here to do a final public hearing where we set the millage rate. And we set the millage rate for the general fund and the MSTU fund. And then it came down to the third millage rate, which was on to deliver the hunting camps. And I was under the impression when I came, and you just read it out loud a little while ago, that you can change that by a resolution. And then we get here, and then there's suddenly it has to be changed by an ordinance. And you can't do anything tonight, Commissioner, because it has to be done by ordinance. And you don't have time to advertise for an ordinance. You remember that? Now, which is it? Can you change the hunting camp by resolution, or have you got to advertise and do it by ordinance?
You got to change the ordinance.
Well, the ordinance.
Well, read it over, Conrad. It says you may change this by resolution.
It says hunting camp solid waste assessment shall be set by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners.
Shall be set by resolution.
Okay. All right. Now.
It says an amount equal to that of recreation vehicles and one third of other dwelling units. That's what you got to mean. You got to change that if you're going to change that special assessment.
Why we got the language in here about setting by resolution? It's confusing.
Well, this is the ordinance that set that designates the hunting camps and the residents. It says the maximum assessment for residents 164. It's all in the same ordinance. So if you're going to change anything in that ordinance, you got to amend it or repeal it or and start over, whatever you want, the board wants to do. But you don't start the process because you already got a solid waste market. And you did, when you changed it, was in April of that year, and then you didn't adopt a resolution setting that 46 until you did your final budget period.
What we need to do is this board, these five commissioners who make the decisions, we need to decide what we want to do. First of all, that's the first thing we have to do. We got to decide what we want to do.
We want to leave it the way it is.
We want to charge $50, $60, whatever it is that comes up that we all agree on. Then, once we've decided what we want to do, if it takes an ordinance change, let's change the ordinance. Okay. Then, at some point in time, if we decide to do it, we've got everything in place. If we decide never to do it, then we don't have to do anything. So I don't see what the big problem is.
Well, I don't think we need to do anything this year because I don't want to spend
$16,000. Yeah,
in place.
We need to get it all in place so that if the board next year.
Next budget year, then if we want to do something, we've got it in place.
Is there a possibility that in that you could do a resolution going to the max amount? Is that a possibility? Is that maybe where the confusion came in?
Well, at this point, you don't need to do a resolution. It's done at budget time.
Right, correct. I'm just trying to think how we got confused.
Look at this current ordinance we got that's in place and decide what they want to do about special assessment of the fund camp, not because it's all in one ordinance.
Right.
Well, a little bit of history. Back when we did this, if you'll recall, I think what we had done, we were going to have hunting camps the same as residents, and then there was a big. They came in here in droves, and it was a decision to, in fact, make it such that it was more appropriate and more, for lack of a better term, equal for the folks that have hunting camps that only have them for, only put garbage out 2 months, 3 months a year. Am I correct in that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and it was a decision that the maximum amount of any assessment would be no more than $154, giving the board the wiggle room to raise that, the max to $154, okay? Then we said that hunting camps shall be set by resolution of the Board of County Commissioners at amount equal to that of recreational and one-third of other dwelling units. So if you're going to have it at one-third of what dwelling units and you raise the dwelling units, then you got to change it to one-third. I think that's what we were trying to write.
Well, you know, we...
Does that make sense to you, Malcolm?
Can you do that by resolution, or do you have to do it by ordinance? You can do it by resolution, right?
Yeah.
That's where I think you could
do it by resolution.
Because it was 5133. Would be the third
of 154,
and it would bring in $107,000. I'm thinking that's where maybe the confusion came in.
But the thing about it is, Commissioner Moody specifically said, I'm not in agreement to change
the rule. Everybody's saying,
I'm
in favor of going up that 140.
Yeah, I said that too. I don't want to go up to 140 if we do some of this other stuff.
Right.
So,
I threw out the idea, can we change this one third up to say $50. That would generate about $100,000, $50,000,
$52,000. I think I'm figuring out what anybody's saying. Correct me if I'm wrong. If you read the ordinance, it says one third of other dwelling units. Okay. If you can't raise it unless it's got to be a third. So you're going to have to raise the 140 to
144. How could you change that one third? How could you change the one third?
And that way, you would change the one third more than likely by ordinance.
Yeah, so that's what we need to do. Mark, you had something you wanted to add.
A couple things. Mark Rowell, 3384 Slaughter Road. One, and I think what the confusion is the ordinance says that it will that you set it by resolution, but the ordinance also tells you what you have to set it by as a resolution. It doesn't give you any option other than the one third.
And that's the
that's what I just said.
Ordinance, but we can change the existing ordinance to say whatever we want to say.
Yeah, you could. I mean, probably the easiest way would be, I don't want to offer a suggestion, just since I'm up here, change the ordinance where you just say that it will be set by resolution and cut the rest of that sentence off. And then you would be able to set it by resolution thereafter.
Well, again, I don't mean to make anybody mad, but I might do that, is you've got to understand that when you're dealing with these special assessments, that if you're doing it without a study, you got your
subject to lawsuit.
Your subject, it hopefully it wouldn't happen, but remember, just keep that in the back of y'all's mind. You know, that's my job.
And that's okay, Conrad. If we decide, let me just say this. If we decide that we want to raise it, say the $50, and that generates how much?
I think it's about 50 something. And that's paid for.
$5,000.
Okay. And then Mr. Moody said, I don't want to spend any money on the study. I remember that.
So then if we raise it, we take that money, I mean, we have to do the study, and then we'll get that money back within the first year.
Yeah.
Okay,
maybe.
And then after
depending on how much the study costs.
Well, I mean, I don't think it costs $100,000.
The lady in the cross city said about 20, and
yeah.
You and I figured about 30.
Yeah. So, but I mean, you know, to do it right, to avoid all the people that you know, we have people come to fit me by gas to get up here to the meeting, but they got 15 hunting hands. So, but you know, I think what we need to do is decide what we want to do, and then decide how we're going to do it.
And when.
We're not going to do anything this fiscal.
Well, if I can just ask a question, please, and you, I need your help with this, Mark. Or maybe
I can give you the study for free.
No, okay. So listen.
Right now, I can give you the study for free. You don't have to pay for it.
I have two letters, one from the neighbors group and one from GSG, about deadlines for a fire assessment, because you know that's an option every year, and a solid waste assessment. And both of these letters basically say that we have a deadline of January 1st in order to reserve the right to use the tax bill collection method beginning on or in November of 2020. So this is for next fiscal year. So what I'm hearing is that we have a deadline of January 1st for an increase in solid waste assessment, supposedly, or a fire assessment to adopt a resolution of intent.
Comrade.
Remember, a resolution of intent doesn't mean that you got to do it.
That's exactly right.
So let's be on the safe side and approve a resolution of intent, just in case.
Okay. Well, now what has to be done is...
You got to draft it.
I got to draft it. I got to change this thing that Ms. Espinoza. And then we have...
Yes, go ahead and make a motion.
I move that we instruct our attorney to draft the necessary resolutions...
Of intent.
Of intent.
Of intent.
I'll take it.
Just
the solid waste. Not fire. Just
solid waste.
Just
solid
waste.
Okay, we got a motion by Commissioner Page, second by Commissioner Moody. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say sign. Motion carries. Yes, sir.
Yahoo. Good job. Now, I've got her description of the entire county.
Yeah.
I don't have a description of the unincorporated area of the county. Can you help with that?
Sure, we can get with Bruce and we'll get that.
Get with Bruce and get that to me ASAP,
okay.
Because this has to be advertised for 4 weeks.
Right.
This notice. Yeah. And I can
all the county except what's in the community is here.
Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean it's In the ordinance there that we had in 2012, I mean, as our description.
No, we didn't put a description.
We didn't put a description. Okay.
No. This is just on the notice of intent that you put a description of.
I think you have the same description when we for the
fire
that I can send you.
Well, let's make sure now that it's correct, that it's the unincorporated area, that's not the whole.
Right. I think it is.
Okay.
Just cheap at that.
All right.
But I'm afraid you might be able to get it. The first ordinance that was done solid waste was 92-5, 2005-4, 2007-10, 2011-7.
Yes, ma'am. I know all those. Yes, ma'am. I don't know that we did that.
I don't know.
I don't. When I first saw that description, I thought, sure, I can do that.
No, but no, if you even think about study, we can give you the study. I mean, I've got it right here to show you the benefit.
Thank you.
Of who's getting the benefit for the year. Good. How many banks we know don't get
good
full round benefits.
Thank
come
you
back and see us anytime.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. I'm just about starting to say.
We appreciate you spending the half night with us.
Yeah, no problem. No problem.
Glad to see you.
Good to see y'all.
Item 42, the county attorney to discuss draft ordinance prohibiting the use of tobacco and vaping. Can I say something before you?
Sure.
I have to say this. Okay. I think last time when we discussed this, I think we just kind of become, the discussion got out of hand a little bit.
We got carried away.
I think we got carried away. And I went home and stayed awake that night and thought about it the next few days. And, you know, we don't need to be putting anybody in jail for vaping and smoking. I think I really think we ought to back up and think about this and perhaps just put some signs out that says no vaping in our parks. And as far as employees are concerned, just designate them a smoking area that's non-public. And let's start carry this as far as we took it last time. That was kind of almost ridiculous. Does anybody agree with me?
I agree with you.
I agree with you to an extent, but I think we ought to outlaw with no penalty.
Yeah.
Anything in our park.
How do you have a law without a park? How do you have a law without a penalty?
You're
going to write a law, you got to have an infractional penalty.
What about that?
Just
put a sign out.
So why even make a law if you're not going to have a penalty attached?
If you want to keep a small penalty, I can support it. If you do anti-vaping in parks.
Right.
So you want anti-vaping and anti-smoking in county parks and inside county buildings.
And any tobacco use.
Yeah, any tobacco. Right. I can go all the parks inside of the building.
Conrad.
I love it. Well, let me just tell you what, I don't know whether y'all read the one that I did. The fifth one that I did.
Well, okay.
Good job, Conrad.
But let me just tell you what it provided for. I know everybody's getting hungry.
$25 fine.
It's a $25 fine. I listed everything that we could think of that the county had. We got the parks and the recreation areas and the buildings and the tea hangers and everything. And what we said was, it's unlawful to smoke tobacco products and vape on above county properties. Okay? The person found smoking tobacco products or vaping on the above properties is guilty of a civil infraction and subject of a fine up to $25.
Big fine.
Okay? Any subsequent infraction by the same person, the fine will also be $25 pursuant to y'all's request. And then I said, in addition to the Taylor County Sheriff's Office, who may issue citations for violations of this ordinance, the Taylor County Code Enforcement Officer is authorized to issue citations for the violation. And then I give them a copy. I did a citation in the ordinance, you know, and I've never seen that before, but I decided that's the thing to do. And so this is the citation there. That's what I did with
you
that.
You did a good job. Just didn't put anything in there about other tobacco use.
Smoking, vaping, and other tobacco products.
Other back, okay.
But I mean, what's the, you know, Commissioner Murphy, you make a good point there. Why even do it if you're not going to have some kind of consequences? But
it should include all forms of nicotine tobacco use, whether it be.
Well, I told y'all that I could do one that says no smoking, no chewing, no fun, you know.
best one.
So what's the pleasure of the board?
Whatever you all think's best.
I'm okay with 25, I'm okay with nothing.
I'm okay with 25 and living in the parks.
I agree.
Like $25. Park, Capitol Park, and Southside Park, and do you have a park in Ski Nation? Park where kids are.
Well, it's public area. Boat ramp.
Well, I don't want to include boat ramps.
Well, it's already included.
Why did nothing?
It's okay, already. I'm going to throw it away.
Let's get the sign out there. No smoking dipping, one or two.
Now, the stock exchange, what, July 1st or October, okay, is prohibited in any government.
That's right.
So whether you do it or not.
They may, that may be one that we're not allowed to do pursuant to the, you know, we can't do anything about guns, remember?
True.
That's right.
My suggestion to y'all would be to wait and see what happens with regard to how that's enforced by the state, and then if they're not doing it, then
that's a done deal.
It's a done deal.
Parks.
Yeah, parks.
Okay. Moving on along, County Administrator Items Number 43, the County Administrator to discuss informational items. We're going to give you 1 minute. Before we have
to. I need to skip a minute.
It's in the meeting, right? Okay, informational items. All good news, I think. The Jerkins Community Center project, the county-funded portion is complete. And we got that done before September 30th. That includes demolition of the existing bathrooms, new sanitary sewer, new domestic water roof-in. I don't know what some of these terms mean, but this is the list I have. Infill concrete block openings, new doors and frames, new 200-amp electric panel, new metal stud wall, new wood furring on block walls and bathrooms, and new drywall. So the project is not complete, but the portion that the county funded is complete.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I wanted to let you all know that.
Mr. Thomas, look all right to you?
Yeah.
All right. You mind back there?
I'll go back out and look again. Okay. I was there when they tore the walls out, put stubbed the plumbing in, and had studs up.
Good.
Just a reminder, the legislative delegation meeting is Wednesday, May the 9th. Of May.
What's that?
October 9th at 5 o'clock.
Here.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock on Wednesday.
This Wednesday at 5.
Yes, at 5 o'clock.
Here, right here.
Yes. And I sent y'all some information from Chris Doolin that I'd like you to review when you have a chance about some things we should ask for as far as the county share Medicaid and how that works. It just as an FYI, there has been a change in FWC regulation as it, for red snap, recreational red snapper season. So there had been three weekends opened up in October, October 12th and 13th, October 19th and 20th, and October 26th and 27th are the fishing days. Right. Now what I'm not sure about is the actual potential impact to our boat ramps. I don't know if we need to ask for traffic control and boat ramp attendance, so I...
Let's just look at that first weekend. I find it hard to believe that...
I don't believe you're going to know.
You
have some increased traffic, but not that much of it.
I didn't know what to anticipate.
Yeah.
If it's all the food, it's still open, it's big one thing.
That first weekend is a big Naughty Girls tournament in St. Louis, so you might want to go.
A big
question. The big tournament in
Steam Hatchie out weekend. Does it draw that many? Or you need traffic control?
Have y'all asked for traffic control?
It's a pretty big tournament.
Okay.
What about the most
of them? I think most of them have. I'm sorry, but I think most of the people have places there.
Yeah.
That do fish. But when you get, it draws a lot of them.
Well, I mean, if we have to have it, that's one thing.
It's just Saturday, not the whole
if we can get by, it costs us a lot of money to do that.
And I don't know if that's something the sheriff's office would normally provide for. I don't think, that we've paid for off-duty patrol or off-duty traffic control for that particular tournament.
I'm going to monitor it this year and just see how. Stan, what do you think?
It's growing.
there was a special call meeting of the projects board covering the snapper season, and in that, they expected about 250 acres.
But you don't have any local ones?
Most of them will not be local.
But they do have places there, some.
Well, some, well, they all stay there.
I also received a update from Dawn Perez with the Chamber of Commerce. She attended, along with others, attended the FWC meeting considering requests for trout regulations. And my understanding is that that for now, they are taking under consideration the request to keep limit of 5 and captain's bag limit for the Big Bend region, which is a new region. So what I would like to do is to work with the chamber to bring a resolution back to the board to be ready for the next FWC meeting in mid-December. Also, our palmetto berry harvest brought in 1,629 pounds of berries at $1.80 a pound, which gave us a profit of $977.40.
How many effort hours on staff was put in for that?
I'm not sure. You know, but I will say this project, there was a big learning curve. So now that we know what is entailed, I think it would be an easier process. I mean, we have the contract, we have the RFP documents, we know how to request bids, percentage versus per pound, if the board wants to do this again next year. There's a question if we want to, you know, possibly do a controlled burn on those parcels to help with the berry production. I know that was something that was brought forth by the pickers, and they said, well, if you would burn the property, you might have a better harvest. But at the end of the day, the biggest problem is theft, is trespassing and theft. And that's extremely hard to control. From what I understand, there's a green berry market, which is, you know, so it's hard to work out the timing to try to beat the trespassers who are stealing, you know, who are picking not only on county property, but state property, you know, wherever they can go. So it would be, you know, up to the board to see if this is something we want to continue to pursue.
The green berry itself are better price per pound than the ripe berry?
No, sir, I don't think it's that. I just think that it's largely unregulated, and this is a cash market. Yeah. So, is my understanding. So they're an easy target, and it's not like we can patrol those areas.
There was probably 1,000 pounds of berries dumped on our property out there that's pulled on the ground that they must have got run, they had 40 feet and got run off of.
That's scary.
And they just dumped it out, that super sack, and left berries replaced. As long as this camera right here is probably buried.
Okay. Berry means.
Yeah.
Not berry means, but Travis McCoy, 1700 Old Lane, Senior Vice President for the Land Hill. We estimated our losses were about $100,000 this year.
From that.
And the problem is the state's attorney's office. They will not prosecute. They will not back up. They will not take the cases. They won't do it. I'm not going to quote what the man told me, but they won't do it. That's the biggest problem. It's absolutely that, but it's not just that. It's the liability of it. You got people camping out at night, out in the berry fields. You go out there on Friday, come in on Saturday to pick it, and they're gone. It's significant.
In and out.
And this was a bad year. So this was a really bad year. The crop wasn't good. You get fungus on it, mildew, but it fall off, kind of like peach and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's just a bad year. It's hard to predict the berries because you don't know what you're going to get, and it is a cash market. So if they're not seeing the landowner.
Right.
That's right. You see what's popped up all over the county.
So you
signs, these little boxes.
You estimate about $100,000 worth of loss, and a state attorney wouldn't pick it up.
Yes, sir.
Well, because it, I would say
we're
that
at least that
because it's a cash market, that's no documentation. You can't prove it. Don't you think? Right.
Yeah, it's part of it.
Yeah, but
although we had to jump through multiple hoops to get the permits and
right.
So we do it right and,
right.
And get your permit from the state,
right.
Get licensed contractors, insured contractors in here. It's a big market. The state
builders are
not picking on their lands on state land.
Nope.
So that pushes that market to us as landowners and the county is great. So we're now the resource. It's good for our communities. It's income for us as landowners. But it is a highly unregulated and law enforcement's very frustrating.
Let me have your phone number before you leave, please.
Do you have any suggestions?
Thanks.
I mean, legal suggestions.
Well, if I can
hear them. Whatever you can put on your state's attorney's office. I mean, that's really what it is. Talk to your sheriff. We give you some feedback. Talk to your division office. They're very frustrated.
Don't you think that part of the problem is that when you have legal picking companies, they have certain vehicles, it's all very out in the open, they stop at the check stations, but then when you have like campers that could be full of berries and vans and other vehicles like that that don't check don't stop at the check stations, then it's not the same level of
they're pretty sophisticated. I mean, think for such a minor thing with Memphis, but they're running drop-off trucks. This is not new. This has been going for 20 years. It's just amplified when the states decided to not fit. It pushed a lot of those folks from Immokalee up here. Mm-hmm. And so, the Immokalee region. But yes, I think that's part of the problem. And then you got probably some of the thieves are mixed in with the legal folks. So we go through some efforts on ours. I know y'all do too. And I think the biggest impact is getting our region to make it serious. Mm-hmm. When you pick one of these guys up and you look, these men, women, and children, by the way, in some cases,
yeah.
But you pick them up and they've got a lot of cash like that in their pockets. It's all cash business. And you'll have.
They have people to drop them off down the road.
They drop them
all day out.
Got them all for daylight. Some of them are starting to camp out and stay in the woods. We
stay there.
Two camps. And what you find berries being dropped off by the road is.
They had been camping where their berries were dumped out. There was paper plates, styrofoam where they bought lunch at places like at Rockies or somewhere and carried them down there. They've been there a few days.
They figured out that we're watching the roads. Not just us, but law enforcement. We are helping. It's just, they got to know that there's a penalty,
right.
And it's got to be real. And if it's not real, they're going to keep doing it.
Or there's other crimes associated with it that are not being spoken of.
I would imagine that's probably true.
I've seen this.
I mean,
that's why I'm asking for your phone number. But what you just brought to light about having brought this information to the state attorney, nothing was done?
Quite frankly, I didn't take it to it this year. I was discouraged a couple of years ago and didn't take it back.
And that was because they didn't have an interpreter in court, did it?
They had an interpreter in court. I took a few cases. This was 2-3 years ago. I took a few cases to court. It was a slap on the wrist and out. But most of them were PCI, pre-trial medication. But out or a slap on the wrist. Get back.
The state's going to have to get a handle on the market. People buying it before they'll ever get a handle on anything else. It looks like to me.
The state took a good first step doing the permitting process at the cell. But now you've got to get the Department of Agriculture investigating it, FOC investigating it, Sheriff's Department investigating it. Once they do that, if you look in South Florida, you saw some pretty prominent cases today. Because it's on state lands, I think we had prosecutors that were working with them. I think that helps me too. But from my seat, it's very, very frustrating.
Yes. Yeah.
Learned a lot about Palmetto berries the last few months, but this is a very interesting experience.
Well, we've all learned a lot about this in the last 3 years. So, you know, when you first brought it up.
Well, they've been getting mine for years. And I didn't even know what they're doing. I thought somebody cut open the fence for them to hunt, but they were getting buried.
You didn't realize what was happening.
I put a game camera on the hole, nothing ever showed up on it. The reason was buried in it. They were gone. But this year, they actually got some of mine, but I got a crew to pick most of mine before we got them, you know. So, but we did find, they just left a marker in the road where they quit picking. And past where they quit picking was plenty of berries. Up to that fake stuck in, that stick stuck in the road wasn't a berry.
Wow.
I mean, that's just the way it is.
It's wondering if they haven't gone up into the woods with the time others and it happened or a snake bit.
They were coming back to get them other ones because that stick was in the road. Yeah. Right. Start again. You know, that's just the way it goes.
Just two more items. We would like to request that the board set a special workshop date for the state of the county presentation. Staff's been working on that, and I'd like to maybe look at the end of October or sometime in November.
I'm available.
Okay. Should we just send some dates, or do y'all want to check the calendars now?
I've got my calendar. What are you looking at?
Everybody got their calendar?
I don't know. I got it not yet.
Okay. Well, Marcia, when are those board meeting dates in November? Please.
Our board, ours is November the 4th, the 19th, and the 26th.
Okay.
26th work? Do you want
to? No, that's the workshop, the 26th.
November 4th.
Is our November 4th and 19th are our board meetings, and then our workshop is November 26th, but that's right after Thanksgiving. Sometime in November, maybe prior to, you know, maybe the second week in November, possibly.
How about the 14th, 15th? No, we don't need an October.
Maybe the 14th.
The 14th for me.
That way we can get agenda done on the 13th.
That's on Thursday. That's always
November 14th.
October 14th.
November
14th.
November 14th.
Yep. What time? Have it during the day?
Sure.
Yes, sir.
10 o'clock?
10? That's good.
10 o'clock.
Okay, perfect. Okay. And then for the October agenda, I don't have anything set aside for that agenda as yet. My question is if we want to discuss the possible timing of Restore Act projects, any possibility of an SEP amendment. Can I place that on the agenda?
Yes. Yes. Summer 22nd.
That's October 29th.
That's the workshop.
It's the workshop.
Yes.
And I distributed materials at the last workshop that demonstrated what other counties are doing and what we could possibly do with our Restore Act funds. So if you'll give it some thought, and then maybe we can set a path moving forward at the October workshop.
So it's fine.
All right.
Thank you.
Item 44, comments and concerns from the public for non-agenda items. If you have something you want to talk about that wasn't on the agenda, come forward, state your name and address.
Yes.
I'll do my best not to take 3 minutes. Mark Vowell at 338 Fort Spotter Road. It is October, so it is Forest Festival Month, and since I was here, I'd go ahead and just say we'll probably try to get a proclamation for y'all in the next meeting. Jeff Smith, who was here earlier, is our chairman, and a longtime board member, and he's taken the leadership role this year, and he's really been leading us in some new and interesting directions. We have our Festival Queen pageant last Saturday. We had 9 contestants. It's the most we've had in quite a while. Unfortunately, it's been a program that's been struggling this year. It's really been revitalized. We had a new event chair from Paul Costa, went really well. We have our little Queen pageant this Saturday at Forest Capitol Hall. Festival will be October 26th. And I hope you all can come out and enjoy
it. Sure will.
That's right.
I a good crowd and good entertainment. And, our leader in Cameron this year is Buddy Jewell, who was on the inaugural season of USA's Nashville Star. He won that year and beat Miranda Lambert. She came in third. But as, he has had a pretty stellar career, and we're happy to have him as our leader.
Look forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay. If not, we're going to go to 45 board informational items. Commissioner Moody?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Page?
No.
Mr. Dibbs?
The only thing that I have is on Wood Creek Road on the city park. They're saying that the stripes in the road is going, and they don't want an accident to happen. I told them that the city need to do the strike. So they asked me to go to the city and ask the city would they use the strike.
I emailed the city probably 2 weeks ago. I have not received a response, but I will. Do you want me to reach back out?
Yes, ma'am. Please do.
So,
okay. That's it.
I have nothing at this current time.
Okay. Can you give us a quick... Is there any kind of update on recreation in terms of, you know, has the city made any firm decisions? Or?
I have not had any conversation.
Okay, I have a lot of people, and I'm sure I can't believe what the rest of everybody else has a lot of questions about it. And the only thing I can say is we can't control what the city does or doesn't do, but we're going to provide recreation.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I've got a couple. People, basically what I told them.
Yeah, we're going to take care of that. We're, you know, if it lands all in our lap, then we'll do what we have to do. But we have to provide recreation for our children of Taylor County.
It's an investment in the future.
It is. Anybody else?
Have y'all seen the batting? I'm sorry, just made me think about it. Have y'all seen the new batting page that's set up at the sports complex?
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you so much for that.
Yeah, let me say, and I say it all the time, I'm out there now every Tuesday and Thursday night when my little children play flag football. That sports complex is so awesome. It is in the best shape it's ever been in. It is mowed, it's striped, there are no weeds in the flower beds. Everything is good. So Greg, tell Greg, thank you. He's doing a great job, best job ever.
And he's so proud of the new equipment. We have the portable pitching mounds and the batting cage. And if we receive the FERDAP grant funding, that would certainly provide for more improvements to the sports complex. And he's very thankful.
He's good. Let me keep him. Okay.
You got concessions under control? Didn't Nicole come back?
No, sir, but Gary and we have other staff who are
cooking. They're cooking burgers.
Yes, sir.
Hot dogs and burgers over Tuesday and Thursday.
Nice.
Okay, if there's nothing else, is there a motion to adjourn?
No, we adjourn.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good to see everybody. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. How are you?
Yeah.
Yeah.